This week, Capcom says quitters never win and winners never quit by turning to player identification to shame rage quitters into changing their habits. Fighters beware of the Scarlet Letter Q. And that's just one story we have on the last pre-holiday episode of the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio. Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, episode 670 for this December the 18th of 2016. My name is Rob Roberts, and she is Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Sup?
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah, you know, it's all right.
Okay.
Now wait a minute. You've been in a pretty good mood all night. We've been eating and talking and gossiping.
I'm out of food.
Yeah.
I'm out of coffee.
Oh, you're out of food. So that's the problem. Do you want more coffee? We can do more coffee. I got plenty of K cups for the machine.
I couldn't make words happen. That's all.
All right. also say hello over there to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi Loki. How are you doing?
Fine.
Good. And so we had a little scare before the show. Your burger may have had the wrong toppings, but it's all is well. We're okay now?
Yeah, I was just thinking their cheese was oddly colored.
Well, it's
cheese, quotey fingers.
Yeah, it's Burger King. I don't know.
Normally it's pretty good.
I mean, it's okay. It's all right. Anyway. hi, guys. You guys are in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And you guys can participate live with our show where Fifth Dream in chat says, been a while since she was here live. Actually, Dark Soccer's return was last week, Fifth Dream. Where were you? You might have just not been here.
Yeah.
But Dark Soccer will be here for the foreseeable future, including... Next week, if you guys didn't know, we will be doing a live Orange Lounge Radio
on the first day of Hanukkah
holiday spectacular, and Daddy's gonna drink. So just
Mama
like,
might be drinking too.
So yes, look forward to that. Please look forward to it. Unfortunately, Uncle Loki will not be able to make it, but I mean, it is kind of a major holiday. But you guys hopefully will be here too. If you guys are bored on the night of the 25th, you can come join us. Bobby Blackwolf will be here too with his show. You can always use the podcast feed. We're on iTunes, Google Play Store, pretty much all the big places you can find podcasts except for one. You can find us almost anywhere else. So TuneIn is one that I certainly recommend. So all the great places you can find podcasts. They're available, and you can find our Christmas episode if you can't be here live. ActDeft in chat says, I'll be here. Well, good. I'm glad at least one person can be here next week. Before we get into the kickoff topic tonight, I need to address something right at the top of the show, okay? And I'm going to admit, this has absolutely nothing to do with video games, but in the past, like, 4 hours, I've been called a witch, I've been called a prophet, I've been called the oracle. I want to play a clip from our last show. This was 7 days ago, okay? This is a minute-long clip from the last episode, 669. A little bit of throwback music, please.
I just want people to get the fuck over it.
And... Betty White to stay alive.
No, oh, yeah.
No celebrity deaths in 2017. None. Well, maybe no. A couple. Maybe a couple.
I don't know. Who do you think will die first? Betty White or Kirk Douglas?
Oh, well, let's... I mean,
he's 100 now.
I know, and I hate to say this, but can I say Zsa Zsa Gabor?
Okay, Zsa Zsa.
She's one of those people where you go, how?
Right?
How?
Preservatives.
I'm fine with her being one of the three and, you know, the...
It's like, yeah, if there's certain sacrificial lambs we have to offer 2017, then it's like, okay.
If she has to die so Gabor, Betty White can live,
yes,
then by all means.
Kirk Douglas. I mean, this is horrible. We're horrible people. We should, no, just, you know. But
Betty White seems to be in the best health of them all.
Yeah, because she's probably still having sex.
Who wouldn't want to sleep with Betty White? I'm serious.
The blood sacrifice has been made.
So I want to apologize to the Gabor family. I didn't mean it like that. But yes, in case you hadn't heard,
I did.
Zsa Zsa Gabor died today. And look, I don't mean to make light of this. It sucks when people die and so forth. However, the whole reason why I went there in the first place on the show was the fact that the poor lady has had how many surgeries in the past 5 years? Does she have any limbs left? I don't even know. And, you know, it's one of those things where her husband's been keeping her alive for I don't know how long. So that's why I was kind of joking earlier in the year. How are all these celebrities dying, but Zsa Zsa Gabor is still alive? Well, thank you, God, for, you know, that little joke. But there you go. So
ironically, they're going to turn her into RoboCop.
Stop it right now.
Well, one of my friends, though, being the person he is, uh-huh. posted the clip from Nightmare on Elm Street movies where she was on an interview show and it turns out she's being interviewed by Freddy Krueger and he slashes her across the face.
Well, that's back when the 80s movies were like super cheese. That's when we had like Sleepaway Camp and all those amazing 80s movies.
Toxic Avenger.
going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Stoppy says, what was she even famous for aside from being married like six times?
Well, Green Acres?
Wasn't that her sister?
No, I don't think that was Ava. I think that was Zsa Zsa.
I'm pretty Hold sure. On. Well, then did she also slapped the siren on the, because she slapped a cop. So she was in those Naked Gun movies, right? Kind of making, she was the original Kardashian. That's what it is. That's what it boils down to, is like, why is Kim Kardashian famous? Anybody? Yeah, exactly. So like, Zsa Zsa Gabor was kind of like the original
is
Kardashian.
Is it because her parents own a line of hotels? Oh, wait.
No, you're thinking of the wrong
spoiler. That was the previous line, yes, of that was the people previous. That were famous for no reason.
Yes. Alan Alchemy points out she was in 60s Batman. Oh, that's right. That is right. Let's see. So anyway, so I'm getting yelled at by chatters, but you know what? I said what I said. But again, you know, apologies to the Gabor
Ava.
Family. I thought it was Ava and the Green Acres. Apologies to the Gabor family. However, Betty White should now be okay for this year. So let's just all...
There's going to be only one.
Let's breathe a sigh of relief. Yeah, don't jinx it, Rob. I can't utter celebrity names because apparently I have the death whisper. What?
She's the Highlander.
Yeah.
There can be only one.
Let's hope. All right. We need to move on. Thank you, Tiger Claw. A very important movie credit. I should do this. The 1952 version of Moulin Rouge. So the one you probably didn't see because it's from 1952. But if you haven't, you should. This was the pre Nicole Kidman, you know, that one.
Baz Luhrmann.
Yes, that weirdness. Whole thing. So anyway, let's move on. We got to get into video game stuff. I love that the chatters want to keep talking about Zsa Zsa Gabor's career. However, we do for what is traditionally like the part of the year where the video game news just like dries up significantly and we're left to stretch for time. I feel like there's still a lot going on this week. So we're going to start with this, some big news that came out earlier this week about the partnership between Nintendo and Universal. So we talked about this on prior episodes that the two were teaming up, but now we have some more information about what exactly is planned. Super Nintendo World is coming to Universal Studios Japan. It is going to be coming in time for the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. That's what they're timing it for. So Japan, I guess, foresees that 2020 will be a huge tourist year, probably thanks in large part to the Olympics. So they're trying to get Super Nintendo World open before then. However, Nintendo-themed areas are also going to come to Orlando and Hollywood. I don't know where they're going to put them because they had to bulldoze the Gibson Amphitheater to put the Harry Potter thing in Hollywood. I would assume they're going to cut something on the tour. Something in
the
tour is going to go.
Take out the mall?
No, they would never take out the mall. The mall makes too much money, I'm sure. Something on the tour will probably give that's on the Universal tour. And that'll probably be it. Like the last time I was there, they still had the whole set for Desperate Housewives back there. I mean, there's stuff that
can go. Used for a bunch of stuff. So
yeah, I know that's true, but they'll think of something. So,
yeah, they can make more money from that stuff than they do the backlot stuff anyway. So,
yeah. So, we'll see. Yeah, 'cause they can always move that set somewhere else, like, you know, an actual studio, but we'll see. I mean, who knows? Orlando, I'm sure, has plenty of space. So that probably won't be an issue there. Anyway, what is Super Nintendo World going to be? Expansive multi-level environments, unprecedented state-of-the-art rides, interactive areas, shops, and restaurants, all featuring Nintendo's popular characters and games. Does this mean they will continue to ignore Samus? That's my question, like they did Metroid's 30th anniversary. I demand something Samus in this park area, theme area. Needs to happen, right, Logie? We need something Samus. Look, we know there's going to be Link, Zelda, Mario, Luigi, and that. And probably like the characters from Animal Crossing, whatever else is mobile
at
the time.
Which is weird because there was not an Animal Crossing game on the Super Nintendo, but you know.
I know. But I don't think this is supposed to literally be Super Nintendo. It's just that's what they're calling the world.
I would go to Super Nintendo Land.
Keep in mind, in Japan.
Like actual Super Nintendo.
In Japan, it would have been Super Famicom World. Ha ha ha. So it's a little different. Maya in chat over at live.vognetwork.com is asking, is there a booth where I can romance Waluigi? One can hope.
Why?
Why not? Let's see. Anyway, they're saying economic benefits following the opening, 6.2 trillion yen for the Kansai region, 11.7 trillion yen for Japan as a whole, creating 1.1 million jobs in Japan within a decade after opening. That's what they're forecasting anyway. So yeah, we don't have any specifics on what the rides will be.
I don't, you know.
But there is like a mock-up art that you can take a look at. And I mean, it looks really cute. I want to go, that's for sure.
Well, you better get those pre-orders in because they're probably not going to sell enough tickets for all the people that want to go.
Fuck off. The accuracy of that read is way too good. Thank you. Well, I mean, it's funny enough, although you can make the parallels about Nintendo's supply and demand issues, that actually probably will be the case because Japan is going to be getting all these people visiting it, you know, for the Olympics. And, you know, other stuff that's going on in 2020. So it's going to be a big year for Japan. So in a way, you kid, but not really. There's some truth to that. I wonder how long it will be, though, before it opens up in Hollywood and Orlando. Because what the Harry Potter thing was about a 1 or 2 year difference between Orlando and Hollywood, right? It's about a 2 year difference, I think. So
yeah,
I haven't even been to the one in Hollywood yet. I really want to go.
I haven't either.
I really want to go. I just haven't. I've been to Universal there. Xtifer and I, my pal from Guys on the Show, Xtifer and I went to Universal Studios and we had a great time. We rode the Mummy ride, which I really hope doesn't go away, seeing as I hear that they're doing a Mummy reboot, which that franchise
looks
is not
terrible.
Even
terrible.
It's and what, Tom Cruise? What?
I'm fine. Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise can really be in anything because I love watching Tom Cruise in movies run away from things. I mean, honestly, I love Tom Cruise as an actor. I don't care about his personal
stuff. He was really good
stuff.
At Magnolia. Magnolia's
he's
one of
fantastic.
Favorite
he, yeah. Put him in any action movie, it's fine. I mean, they're all great. I just don't
things
think
I did
that,
not ex- things I did not expect Loki to say on
I
air.
Just don't think that that movie franchise needs to be rebooted because like they drove it into the ground.
Do you know why
the
they're
Scorpion
doing it?
King and shit.
Do you know why they're doing it? Universal wants its own Avengers. That's what it boils down to. Universal is rebooting all these classic horror franchises because they want to do their own version of the Avengers with classic movie characters. This is completely serious. I read about
well,
it on Wikipedia. It is true.
I expect then after they reboot everything to culminate in the reboot of the Monster Squad because that's really where it's all going to is the Monster Squad at the end.
So anyway, Xfer and I rode the Mummy ride and we had no idea what the ride was. We just knew it was like a roller coaster and it used to be the E.T. ride years ago. So we're like, whatever, let's do the Mummy ride. So we went on it and it's like, it starts off and it's very casual, like going through these different rooms. It's like, oh, spooky. It's like a blacklight ride at Disneyland. And then all of a sudden, like 70 miles an hour, vroom, like all through this thing. And then it like stops at some point and they make it seem like bugs are attacking your feet. And then the whole thing goes backward. And Xtra and I were screaming our heads off. I really wish we had video of it because we would be a viral sensation on YouTube with how big we were screaming on that ride because we had no idea what it was going to be or what to expect. So like, you know, getting thrown backwards at 70 miles an hour, not exactly a sensation you are, you know, expecting. So yes, that was our adventure at Universal Studios. So I'm hoping, my point with this is, I'm hoping even though Nintendo is seen by a lot of people as a kid thing, I do hope there's a really good thrill ride in it. I really hope Universal does a good thrill ride out of this. So, that being said, chatters, hosts, what Nintendo property do you want to see them make a thrill ride out of? Dark Sakura.
Super Metroid.
Super Metroid. So you say
it
Samus.
It could totally happen.
Yeah, it could. It could be so. It could. They could do it with like the escape sequence at the end of the game or something. Like Samus has to escape from Zebes or something. That would be really cool. Loki. Uh oh.
If you want a thrill ride, there's only one property that could
you're
possibly
take my
use.
Answer.
Excite
I know
truck.
It.
It's going to be Pokemon Snap.
What?
Oh my god, though, they really
but
could.
But it could be
they
ride.
Could. It could be like a Toy Story at Disneyland type thing. They could do, like, but instead of shooting the Pokemon, you're throwing berries at it or something. But they could totally do like a Pokemon Snap type thing. Oh my god, I would actually love that. However, the tricky thing with Pokemon Company is a separate company from Nintendo. So I'm not sure you can bank on, I mean, it's a technicality, but still, I'm not sure you can bank on Pokemon showing up at this thing. I would think it would be ridiculous for them to not partner up to sell oodles and oodles of stuffed Pokemon exclusive to the parks and this shit, but it's not a given. Okay, my answer for that, I thought you were going to say this when you said there's only one thrill ride that could possibly do. F-Zero. Thank you.
That could do
Thank
it.
Thank you. F-Zero. I want to see an F-Zero ride. So bad, but I know it's not going to happen.
It's got to have, though, I would imagine something like that being in a series of projection tubes,
mm-hmm.
where you've got the scenery projected 360 around
Like
you.
They used to do the People Mover in the 70s. At Disneyland, for serious.
But until someone fell off of it in a drunken stupor.
Yeah, but that was their fault. They were drunk.
Yeah. Well, they had that Tron section.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
but
what
imagine
it, the
a whole
tunnel.
Thing like that, you know, and it yes. would look more seamless in like a tube.
I'm here for this. Yes. But I know it's not going to happen. And you know why? Because how freaking obvious would it be to have bumper cars and be Super Mario Kart? And they'll have big inflatable shells you can throw at other people or something ridiculous. I'm telling you, it's happening.
I think
that's like, if anything is a given at this, a Super Mario Kart bumper cars has to be.
I think I just hurt my entire series of ocular muscles with how hard I just rolled my eyes.
All right, let's see. Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, Dungeon Buster says Legend of Zelda. JD says Pokemon Snap already feels like it's a small world. Let's see. Oh, VidPower in chat suggests Kirby Air Ride for people moving. So there you go. Some suggestions for thrill rides at the park. So what do you guys think? Let's see. How many years of OLR will we have been doing at this point? That would be our 18th year. We'll be 18 and legal. So I think we should celebrate in Japan. What do you say? Let's go.
Who wants to pay for it?
I don't know. We'll do a GoFundMe. No, I would never ask the listeners to pay for something
Actually,
so silly. I would not want the listeners to pay for something so silly. We'll save up the money and do it. If we sell shirts and put the money from the shirt sales into a Japan fund, I'm okay with that.
I was just thinking if we did a GoFundMe and had enough, we'd say like, and if we reach a certain amount, one lucky listener gets to come with us.
Then you get into weird lottery laws, legal, yeah. But I'm fine maybe if we want to... Okay, Jamie, you've been talking about doing a book for how long? Like an OLR keepsake.
I plan on doing the book.
So we'll sell the book.
But
and then,
people
that's
haven't
okay.
fucking sent me pictures.
That's different. Like if with the product and you're selling it and we put the money away, that's different.
I want OLR listeners to send me pictures of hanging out with other listeners if you have them.
Uh-huh.
And... even maybe a little blurb about yourself, you know, so we can have like the yearbook in the back.
Maybe we'll look into one of those things where like we get an app or something and we do like bonus episodes, but only if you pay the money to do the app.
Patreon, here we come.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm more of the type of I'm just old school like that. Like I've got to give some type of tangible product that you're paying money for, and that's it, you know. And then we put the profits away, right?
Put them away into donuts. Yum.
And okay, if we don't, you know what? If we don't raise enough money to go to Japan, malasadas on every episode. There you go.
Yay. Wait, what are those?
You haven't had a malasada?
What are those?
Number one, play Pokemon Sun and Moon. Number two, there are the like Portuguese donuts, but they're really big in Hawaii. And they're they're hard to find here. The only place I know of that sells them is L&L's Hawaiian Barbecue. And they're not, I mean, it's kind of basic. It's just...
Well, forget that. Let's just go to Makaroba.
Let's just go to Hawaii.
Oh, we can go to Hawaii. Let's go to Vancouver.
All right, the OLR.
Let's go to somewhere that isn't America.
The OLR travel fund. Akuma JP in chat over at live.vognetwork.com suggests OLR listener porn collection. Hey, look, if you guys are willing to help us raise money at our bake sale by baking something else, then...
If someone sends me $500, I'll moan loudly into the mic.
You want to go up on Fiverr.com or whatever that site is? Or do you pay?
No,
Fiverr?
I just want someone to send me money, really.
All right. Anyway, we'll think about what we can do over there.
I'd do it for a copy of Radiant Silver Gun for Saturn.
All right. We definitely need to get into our gaming weeks so we can get into the news as well, because this has gone way off the rails with this Universal Studios thing.
The show's gone off the rails.
Yeah, I know. It's not the last show of the year, but it kind of feels like it, because seriously, I don't know what news there's going to be next week. So if you think this show is random, just come back next week for the Holiday Spectacular, because I don't know what's going to
happen.
More like
the Holiday Drunktacular.
All right. Anyway, But we do have some gaming news to get into. We'll get there in a minute, but we do have to talk about our gaming weeks. I don't know about you guys, but I've actually played a lot this week. So, Dark Sakura, starting with you. How was
your
gaming week?
You're going to laugh. Huh? Because I got Arkanoid for iOS, and I've been playing a lot of pink, 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 pink.
Yeah, but as far as breakout clones go, like, that's the one to play.
I've been going on, like, this Taito kick, so I also have, like, Darius Burst. And I haven't actually played it on my phone yet, but I found out that I can AirPlay it on my Apple TV. So that's fun. I also got Pac-Man Championship DX for Apple TV and with my SteelSeries controller. It's pretty cool. So I've actually found that controller to be super responsive with my Apple TV. So it's sort of like become another gaming console. So I also have been playing World of Warcraft because now that we've got new content from the last patch, I mean, it's gated, which is really annoying. But I've enjoyed the whole Suramar storyline a whole lot. And I've got one more achievement left, and then I think I get flying. So you have no idea how much gold I've saved up just thinking I was going to pay for my account that way. I'm like at 275,000.
I don't want to tease you too much. I may re-up for another month in WoW just because as far as 14 goes, like I've kind of hit a wall in 14. Like I've done everything there is to do and I'm still doing Deep Dungeon, which is kind of like I got into that when I should have done it last patch. Mm-hmm. But a lot of my guildies aren't on a lot and there's not a lot of content that we really do as a group. So I kind of miss that whole like getting together to do stuff. So like if you're actually on and playing and
I'm on just about every
night. Our pals from Game Buoy are still, do they still play?
I've been trying to get Slykick to come back sometimes.
Maybe if I offer Slykick Malasadas, he'll come back and play. So we'll do something.
But Grandpa's been on a few times.
Oh, that's good. I never see his ass anymore. That'd be great to play with him. So I think I may re-up just for a month to hold me over because I'm really excited. 14 is finally getting that cross-server shit in 3.5, and that's going to help a lot. But anyway,
do classic runs with me and Vert.
Yeah, sure. I'd be down for that.
Because that's pretty fun. Yeah. Which was what I've been doing like when I couldn't sleep, is I was doing like 25-man Black Temple by myself.
Yeah. There's a lot of achievements and old mounts and things. Like, you know, there's, for people especially that are like just getting into WoW, there's a lot of like back content to just zen.
So I've been going back and getting mounts that I was missing and... Yeah. You know, there's a snow globe in Dalaran and it turns you into a gnome.
And Final Fantasy 14, as much as I love it, it doesn't have that same backlog of content yet.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe when Stormblood comes out and I'm level 70, I can do Bahamut's Coil by myself and things like that. Like, it'll be a little more like that. But you can't really do that in 14 right now.
Yeah. I've just been having a good time looking at all the content that I missed.
Yeah.
And it's sort of neat, though. I mean, the only things that I can't go back and do is Old Karazhan, because that's now a new raid.
Oh, they closed off Old Karazhan completely?
I think they closed off the Old Karazhan. Oh, I have to double check.
That's shitty if they did. Sorry.
But I'll have to go back and double check, but I know that they were like completely revamping Karazhan, and now there's a new raid out. So.
One of our people in chat's got to be a WoW player, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm still playing Pokemon Go. I'm still... I just hit 21. 21. I got my Santa Pikachu. And, I have been, didn't play any more Animal Crossing, I hate to say, because I was going to go back and get my island tan. What else? I was playing something else and I can't remember what I was playing. Sonic CD with a Japanese soundtrack. Because it's better. I think that's it.
All right, we'll move on to Loki. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't play anything. I mean, honestly, I played just cell phone games, so Ingress and Pokemon Go. And I tried a little bit of Pokemon Go, just mainly what I've been trying to do is on my drive home from picking up the kids, there's a long section where there's not any Ingress play there, so I just flip it over to Pokemon Go during that time, and then my kids want me to drive them around the neighborhood to look at lights, so I usually play Pokemon Go while that's going on. And with my neighborhood, apparently there's such frequent spawns that it makes it really easy to just keep catching Pokemon. But with that, it seems like they've tweaked what you get from those Pokestops because I'm hardly getting any gear from that stuff anymore, which is annoying.
Well, when a lot of people went back or whatever in November, October, I don't remember. It was around, I think it was the event right after the Halloween thing. They did like double output on Pokestops. So people kind of got used to that as the norm, and that's actually not the norm.
Well, no, I didn't
play
during
that. I found some, though, that, well, you hit the same one, and it's like every certain number of hits are like double.
Like, I used to get at least like four items per spin, and now it's like three, and like two of those, or maybe one of those will be a Pokeball. It's just like ridiculous. It's like they're really trying to get you to buy Pokeballs, and I'm like, no.
Alan and I have taken to driving through downtown slowly, and I'll use, because I obviously I don't want to use my phone and drive, but I can use the little Pogo app. I can, or what, Plus, that's what it's called, the Pogo Plus. You can set that to Pokestops only. So I'll just kind of like have that as I drive slowly through downtown and just hit every Pokestop. And then Alan will
You're cruising for stops.
Yeah, we're cruising.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing about like Ingress and Pokemon Go is that they kind of brought cruising back. It's nerd cruising.
But I did get a Ditto, so I've got that now. I don't know. It's all right. I mean, I do like that there's different things spawning. It seems like they're spawning all over the place, but it's just not like anything new for me. But I mean, it's all right, I guess. And then, you know, it did a little bit of Ingress as well. And I don't know. That's pretty much it. I haven't really been playing any console games. I've been trying to work on, you know, programming stuff and doing all that. I've kind of taking a break from actual coding because I needed to build for what I was working on because it was like an Excite truck type game. So I need to build like a test track-ish area that I can actually – I need something with enough room where I can build in the rest of the stuff, you know, for driving because you can't really do it without a track. So that's what I'm working on right now.
All right. My gaming week, my turn. Okay, so unpopular opinion time. I know Loki really gets all the hate mail on this show, but it's going to be me this week because – I think I have an unpopular opinion on something that a lot of people are playing this week. So here we go. I downloaded Super Mario Run, and I think it sucks. I don't.
Woohoo!
Why are you cheering? You're not supposed
because
to.
Because it's just a runner game, and everyone is super hyping.
That's how I can tell you haven't played.
Dan likes it.
Anybody who's calling Super Mario Run an endless runner. It's not endless.
Not an endless runner. Okay, I'm sorry. It's not an endless runner. It's a Mario game that they've simplified the controls down to nothing.
It's just not fun. I'm sorry. I don't know what it is. I think I do know what it is. The way they did the pay thing is weird. And I am not being one of those people that doesn't think you should pay $10 for a game. I get that. I understand that. But it is a little weird how once you pay the $10, then it says, oh, but you get these 20 Toad Rally tickets, you get these 3,000 coins, you get this special item. To me, it felt like they were giving you all these things that you would expect to see in a free-to-play game, like the Toad tickets, which I understand you don't buy them for money. You earn them through the little bonus houses and all this stuff. But that whole thing is a really weird mechanic. And I do not like those Toad Rallies. I don't like it. I mean, sorry. But I did drop the $10 on the whole thing, so I've seen more than just one map on the Toad Rally. I just don't – like, it's weird because you're not actually competing against somebody live, and you're kind of unsure what it is you can do to do better than the other person. It's very, very vague in a lot of the descriptions, and it's just – it's kind of samey boring to me. Even if you were to say, well, Rob, you wanted to – I'm sorry. It's still very samey boring to me and not – not as exciting as it would be to maybe actually compete against somebody live in the same room or something might be a little more fun. But at the end of the day, I just don't like the whole nonstop running thing. I just don't like that direction for the Mario franchise. And I understand they can't do a traditional control thing, you know, because that would suck on the phone as well. So I understand they came up with this creative solution, but I don't like it. And that's my opinion.
I tried.
I paid the money. I tried. I don't like it. So that's it for Super Mario Run. But a bumch.
And that's unfortunately that's just the limitation of that platform. That just doesn't work. I'm sorry. Like platform games don't work on that platform.
I'm really curious to see now something like Animal Crossing. And dare I? Okay. Now I'm really going to get the hate mail. Y'all ready? Get your email clients open. Participate at orangeontrader.com. I had more fun with Miitomo because I felt Miitomo was an experience that's better built for the phone than probably Super Mario Run is at the end of the day. I think Super Mario Run is the game the investors forced Nintendo to make. Okay, they made it. Now, don't ever listen to the investors again because they don't know what the fuck to do to make a game. That's very obvious. But that's me. That's my perspective. Okay, now I'm going to look at chat. Dungeon Buster in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, Sky, you're not alone. I've heard from others that felt the same way, especially over the pricing. Let's see. Stoppy says, why has Sonic not had an endless runner? That would seem to work really well with that franchise. Let's see. Also in chat, Fifth Dream in chat says, no way, dude. Mario is the next Pokemon Go, Kappa. Alan Alchemy says, does Shane love it? Because if you feel this strongly about it, it really increases the odds he'll feel the opposite. I don't know. Maybe Shane will text me. Which, by the way, Shane texted about Karazhan, Dark Sakura. Shane said, old Karazhan is accessible. New Karazhan is not a raid. It's a mythic something.
Gotcha.
Whatever okay. That whole thing is.
By the way, there was another game I forgot to say I've been playing.
Oh, yes?
In my Taito kick, uh-huh. I have Raystorm.
Okay.
As in, you know, Rayforest, Ray Crisis, Raystorm.
Because a lot of those classics are on
iOS and it's iOS actually now. Really fun to play just in iPhone mode, so... Yeah. It's one of my favorite shooters. So.
But you haven't been playing Super Mario Run.
No, I haven't. I've been watching Dan play it, and when I saw him play it, I was like, I'm not interested.
Okay. Woo. See, I was worried it was just going to be a me thing.
Well, I haven't played it, so I can't make a judgment on it.
Okay.
I mean, especially when I found out that the actual purchase of the game is an in-game purchase, which is how they're going past family sharing. That's kind of janky.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. You download the game for free. But to unlock it, you pay $10. And so, and since family sharing does not encompass in-app purchases, then that's how they're bypassing family sharing.
Okay, Alan, you ready for a twist? Y'all wanted a twist, eh? Shane just texted me. I do not care for Mario Run. It's just not my type of game. I've not liked Mario games in forever, though. See, that's where I disagree with him, because I think, like, Mario 3D World on Wii U is fantastic. I think there have been a lot of great Mario games lately, just not this one, and that's just an opinion. But you know what? I'm not going to poo-poo on those that are playing it and having fun.
No, not at all. Props to you.
Have a great time.
Exactly. And there's lots of games out there that people like that I don't get, like half the games that they advertise on TV
like for Mass Effect.
Mobile games. Yes, Mass Effect being one of them. But, like, my thing was that, like, when they're hyping this shit up, when they're putting it on fucking talk shows and shit, hyping it up like it's going to be the next Pokemon Go, it was never going to be the next Pokemon Go.
See, here's the thing, though. Well, first off, Nintendo wins in both situations, so don't pit the games against each other. But second off, like, I actually kind of like the whole video games on mainstream TV thing. Like, it brings a lot more legitimacy to our hobby. Not that we need it. You know what I mean? But it's still, come on, even if you're very, like, anti-mainstream and all that stuff, there's still something a little bit rewarding about seeing that on TV. I think especially, like, if you kind of grew up where video game was always, like, a counterculture nerd thing.
That's you know what fine. I mean? But that little bit that they did on TV, though.
Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah, you know, and Jimmy Fallon, that was not doing that game any favors.
I got it. I was excited to play it, and I realized it was one of those things that just sounded better than it played. But anyway, all right, I'm going to stop taking a dump on Super Mario Run and let all of you that are enjoying it, enjoy it. Have fun. Let's talk about good news. I want to talk about a game I'm really enjoying and I think is really, really good. And it took me way too long to get around to this game. And I think this is one of the best games that's come out all year.
KC Munchkin.
This is not 1982, girl. All right. But here's the thing. If you like racing at all, in the slightest, you need to play Forza Horizon 3. It is fantastic. It is a step up from Forza Horizon 2, even. I remember some of my complaints about Forza Horizon 2 is that it was like really trying to like shove the DLC down your throat. I think they kind of took a step back with 3, because I know they just released the Blizzard Mountain, and that's nice. And I just think the way they put the game together, where now you move the Horizon spot, you move the festival to like these different locations, and I think the scenery is fantastic. Like, does Australia really look like that? Because it's gorgeous. Where's our Australian listeners at?
Except the part that has animals that will kill you in your sleep.
Well... Yeah, but you're in a car, because you can take them on. But, like, there's really fucking fun stuff in Forza Horizon 3. Like, one of the first things it has you do is you're going to go off this fucking jump and see how much feet you can get in midair. Like, it just seems like a Loki thing. Like, this just seems like something you would really get a kick out of. I'm really surprised you're not into Forza, but then again, you're not an Xbox One.
I don't have an Xbox One.
So, I see. But you, at some point, and whenever those come down in price, you really need to check out Forza. Really fantastic job.
Well, yeah, that'd be like one of the games I pick up for sure. But
yeah.
I just don't have an Xbox One.
So I'm loving Forza, and I think if you like racing games in the slightest, you should try it. Remember, Forza is more of an arcade-style racer, so even if you don't like things like Gran Turismo and the mainline Forza series, which are more simulational, if you like Mario Kart, you will like Forza, I think. So, I mean, and the other cool thing about Forza is that if it's too complicated for you, if you're not taking your turns right, if you're not, you can do so much stuff that's like auto, you can practically do it so that all you do is control the gas pedal. I don't think it's as much fun that way, but that might be a great way for a kid to play the game. So, you know, there's a lot of customization you can do with the difficulty in Forza, and I think they did a great job with it. So,
oh my God.
That's my thought. What's that?
The what lady?
Did she die too?
Yeah.
Fuck this year. Fuck it.
She died yesterday.
What? How did they know? Did they find her? How did they know it was her?
I'm trying to make sure that it's true.
It's fake news.
I'm trying to make sure that it's true.
Not fake news. Fake news. That's what it is. Facebook, put a little red stamp on that. She can't be dead. I love her. All right.
I don't know her.
I feel like
Yeah, she did die.
How do you know this? Proof. I want to see the receipts.
Someone put the body.
I think, the obituary on Reddit.
Oh, Reddit? Come on. Reddit's a source now? No, no disrespect to the Redditors out there. I lurk among you, but I want to see the receipts. All right. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Stoppy says, wait, so auto mode is kind of like those old remote controlled cars that move on a track? Slot car racing, I think you're thinking of? It can be, but you can turn that on or off. You can turn the braking, assisted braking on or off. You can turn the guide on or off. You can really tune the difficulty down to a very fine level in the game, and I think that's part of what makes the game so powerful in a way. So, yes, I'm loving Forza Horizon 3. I give that a very strong recommendation. Other than that, as far as games this week, I beat Final Fantasy 15. So we talked about that, and we've talked about Final Fantasy 15 ad nauseum in the past couple weeks. I finally played and beat 15. At the end of the day, I really enjoyed the game. There are some big flaws with the game. Chapter 13, again, I'm keeping it spoiler-free.
I know, I see all the hate for Chapter 13.
If Chapter 13 was 25% as long and still told the same story, I would be fine with it. And again, I'm going to keep this really vague because I don't want to spoil anything, but those of you that have played through the whole game know there is very obviously more game that was cut. Very obviously the potential for there to be this whole, oh, there's an analogy I want to make so badly, but I feel like it's a spoiler. But have you ever had that moment in a game when it was like, what? Like, there's definitely, like, for me, one of those moments in Final Fantasy 15, and I feel like that's not explored as well as it could have been. Maybe that's the DLC. Womp womp. I don't know. But, you know, I've read some interesting theories on Reddit and NeoGAF, so I brought my, you know, jug of Morton salt with me. But some very interesting theories about the fact that, yeah, dev time was cut really short and that this game was kind of rushed, which I know, wink, wink, laugh, ha, ha, because this game took 10 years to develop. But kids, look at the trailer when they announced that Final Fantasy 13 Versus was becoming 15. Go back and look at that trailer. Does that game even look like the game that we got? No. So it's very obvious to, I mean, and that's part of these rumors, and I very much believe that that is the case, because it feels like it when I look at these old trailers and actually play the game, that the game has actually been in development closer to 2 to 3 years in its current form. Which would make sense with some of the, you know, they changed the director and all this other stuff. So, but anyway, we've talked about 15 ad nauseam in the past couple weeks. I don't want to revisit that too much. I will just say overall, I liked it, but the game did show some weakness in the story towards the end. But I was satisfied with the ending. I was satisfied with a lot about it. I'll be interested to see where the DLC goes. But for me, I still also don't really think it's a Final Fantasy game, which I talked about in previous weeks. But if I had to judge all 15 games, this one would be like in the middle for me. This one would end up in the middle. For me, it's better than probably like 8, 1, 3, which I put towards the bottom of the pack. So I know 3 has its fans. I'm really sorry, guys. But it's not as strong as 6, 4, 14, 2.0. Probably not even as strong as 10 or 12, really. But it's, you know, that's around where I'd put it. So anyway, that was it, Final Fantasy 15. And then randomly, I played Geometry Wars 3. Which I know came out like 2 years ago, but I was in the mood to do a twin stick shooter, and I almost bought Enter the Gungeon, but then I was like, oh, you have all this stuff on Geometry Wars 3 you haven't like done yet, all these trophies you can go get. So I kind of got sucked back into that.
Really should have gotten Enter the Gungeon.
I really should have gotten Enter the Gungeon, but the it's on sale on PlayStation right now, so I still have like a few hours to figure out if I want to get it, or do I wait for the Steam winter sale and get it on PC? That's
get it on both like I did.
That good, huh? That good. All right. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Fifth Dream kind of agrees with something I was saying there in chat. Final Fantasy 15 was really only developed for like 2 years. Akuma JP says the whole story was changed. Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com for more comments. Stoppy in chat says, I'll check it out when the price goes down enough. I think it's the right direction for Final Fantasy. So those are comments from our chat. Okay, some housekeeping. Then we'll get into some gaming news. So we will be here next week live on the 25th. Otherwise, we'll see you on the podcast feed. There will be no show January 8th because I will be at MAGFest, and I hope to see you guys at MAGFest. I don't know. I'm not scheduled to speak on any panels or anything, so I don't have like a place I can guarantee I will be. But if there's enough interest in meeting up at MAGFest, tweet me at Sky, S-K-I-E, and we'll try to do like a dinner or something. Or I don't know, because the food options out there are pretty limited. But we'll try to figure something out so we can do like a little meetup at MAGFest for those of you that are going. That would be a lot of fun. Is someone want to offer up their room for a room party? Woo-woo! That'd be fun. That's really it. Twitter.com/OLR and also on Facebook and Google Plus at username Orange Lounge Radio. Let's get into gaming news. Loki.
So Nintendo has filed multiple Nintendo Switch patents, which have a lot of nice little drawings of stuff and kind of reveals a few things, features of the Nintendo Switch based on it. So one of the things we know is it does have a touch screen. I mean, if that wasn't obvious, some of the cool things that they're showing off. The actual Joy-Cons, or whatever they're calling those, they have some alternate ones for the left Joy-Con. They actually have one that has a D-pad on it instead of an analog stick. They have one that also replaces the sort of four-button D-pad that they have on the normal one with an actual D-pad. So there's a few alternate designs that may be made available or something if you want to do that. What was the other stuff? I think there is something regarding like an IR, emitter or sensor in the Joy-Cons as well, perhaps for, you know, the rumored Wii Virtual Console support. So, I mean, it looks neat and definitely worth checking out all the drawings and stuff to kind of get an idea of how everything will kind of work together. And then finally, there was some more news, not necessarily a patent, but it was a trademark filed. So Nintendo has filed a new trademark for Excite Truck. So they're letting, I guess, their old trademark kind of just, you know, expire, and they're filing a new trademark instead. So what could that mean? New Excite Truck game? I hope so. Is it just for the Virtual Console release? Who knows?
Did I hear correctly that the sequel to Excite Truck, which you were not a biggest fan of, but the what was it called? Excite Robot? Excite?
Excite Bots.
Excite Bots. That hit Wii U Virtual Console. I don't know if you know that, but that came out on Wii U Virtual Console this week. So it could be a lead-in.
It's not a good lead-in. Excite Bots was pretty terrible. But, I mean, it was the only sequel that we got to Excite
Truck. It's something.
It was fucking terrible. They just, you know, I don't know why they did.
You know, the Switch is supposedly reimagining all these Wii U games. What about like a reimagining of Excite Truck for the Switch? Like maybe they're not going to go back and do a whole new one, but maybe they're going to take the old one and like buff it up to HD and like, you know, maybe try to revisit that game. Do you think
they find they add new tracks to the old game? That's really all they should have done for the sequel in the first place. Mm-hmm. They didn't need to add all this weird transforming robots and nonsensical
playing poker while you race.
Yeah, playing poker, throwing darts, throwing a pie at a clown. It made no fucking sense. I mean, no sense whatsoever.
Dark Tetsuya in chat says, that's my theory. As bad as ExciteBots was, at least Nintendo is remembering that was a thing. So I'd be down for Excite Trek Remastered.
It was a great game. It's just... It was poorly advertised and just poorly...
I think it just kind of got lost amongst a lot of the Wii launch titles. I mean, it kind of went up against Zelda and, you know, a lot of powerhouse games in the Wii launch. And so I think it just kind of got lost.
That's too bad.
Yeah. But that would be cool if they at least, if nothing else, do like a remaster, revisited type of thing. Yeah. So. Anyway, we know that the Nintendo Switch will be given more information and a big reveal on January 12th. That has now been timed. It will not be in the morning. It's going to be an evening presentation. So it will be taking place at 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern on January 12th.
Is that because of Japan, I'm guessing?
It probably is because of Japan, because that will be more like morning time in Japan. Yeah. So, because I think Akuma JP listens to this show around lunch hour in Japan. I don't know exactly how far behind they are. But so, yeah, it's going to be like morning, afternoon in Japan. So the only people that are going to get screwed in that is going to be Europe, I guess. No, because Europe's 8 hours ahead. So, well, ahead of us.
London is 8 hours ahead.
That's true. I'm
right now in Japan, it's 11:46 a.m.
Okay, yeah, so that makes sense. So if this whole thing goes down at what, 8 o'clock?
In Tokyo, anyway.
So at 8 o'clock Pacific, it'll be like 1 or 2 o'clock their time. So, but then 8 o'clock Pacific is going to translate to 4 in the morning in London. So, yeah, that's unfortunate. They will probably not get to really watch that live, but makes sense. Also, the Switch's price, the release date, games currently in development, all confirmed, will be announced at this event. I would imagine this means pre-orders are happening this day, too. I said this last week and probably the week before, and I can't stress this enough. If you want to Switch, you need to be prepared to do the pre-order on January 12th. This is why I'm really excited it's in the evening now, because now I don't have to worry about, is it going to be too busy at work, or what's that deal going to be? I would also imagine there may be retailers who will announce when they start taking pre-orders. For example, I think GameStop, correct me if I'm wrong, for these big releases, they will do like, okay, this Friday when the stores open, we will start taking pre-orders. Like they did that for like Amiibo and stuff, didn't they?
I don't know.
I think they did. So
I know they did that with PlayStation VR, that like they're okay, our first batch of pre-orders will go out now. I'm just... Honestly, if they're actually launching in March, I'm just surprised that window is so short. That is a very short pre-order window.
SSJ100 Matt in chat says, PAX South is going to have the Switch playable at the end of January. Oh, I hadn't heard that. It makes sense, though. I mean, if you thought, you know, Miyamoto ending up on Jimmy Fallon was a thing, just wait for how big Nintendo is going to push this thing fast. And exactly because of what Loki said is... I think this is Nintendo's strategy to try and not have this huge hype up window, but to just have a very short, concentrated, huge build up leading into a March launch. It's going to be very interesting. This is a very not typical strategy, and I'm kind of excited to see how it plays out for Nintendo.
See, that's the problem.
Except for the whole fact that hardware
Nintendo,
is a challenge.
They don't understand. Like, there isn't a lack of hype for their stuff. It's just they don't sell enough of their stuff. I mean, like, there's like no one is like unhyped about the NES Classic. Everybody wants to pick it up, but it's not fucking available. That's the problem. You don't need to generate more hype. You've got the hype.
My hope is, with it not being the holidays, you're not going to have all this talk of, oh, the must-have holiday toy is the NES Classic Mini and all this stuff that's causing those things to be in shortages as well. At least we don't have to compete with the freaking holidays in March. So that is a good sign, but... I don't. It didn't really stop any of the other systems, so I don't know.
The 3DS had the same problem, and it launched in March. So
yeah. So anyway, that is something to look forward to on January 12th. Also, kind of interesting. Some My Nintendo members are getting Switch invites. There's some emails going out that say Eventbrite will send out more details, and they have to register right away. So some fans are apparently getting emails, random users,
it's
to actually
to be,
go to
I
the
think
event
in the New York area.
Yeah, so that's why we haven't. Our invites were clearly lost in the mail, but maybe some of our New York City area people, if they're My Nintendo members,
I would laugh if I got an invite.
Maybe I would laugh too. That would be great. So, All right. SSG 100 Matt in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, Sky, breaking news. The Pac South switch line is already capped. sad, but true. Sad, but absolutely true. All right, moving on. Dark Saga.
Well, it's kind of surprising, but not really surprising, because Konami done fucked up. I mean, we all know what they've all fucked up on. We don't have to go into detail.
It's more like, what haven't they fucked up in the past couple years?
We don't have to go into detail on the level of having fucked upness. So, in light of all that, as we all know, Kojima Productions is now a thing. And the new president of Kojima Productions is a former Konami president. Hirano Shinji, who once was the head of Konami Europe, is now the main top executive head honcho of Kojima Productions. And I think that this is also a really, really fun little middle finger to Konami.
Well, this sort of thing happens, though, no matter what the industry is. I mean, we kind of are looking at this because it's a big video game, high-profile stuff going on. But, you know, sometimes if a particular company is a sinking ship, so to speak, and somebody finds an opportunity somewhere else, they're going to try to take the best people they know from that sinking ship and take them to that other place. Like, that happens in other places, too. I mean, in y'all's professional lives, you've probably seen something like that. I know I have. Yeah, I'm not terribly surprised to hear about this. I mean, Kojima, even though he probably strongly dislikes Konami, to put it lightly, I'm sure that applies only to very specific people, very high up in management. So there's probably other people that he really enjoyed that he's probably been wooing to come work with him.
I like what Stoppy says. At this point, Konami is like that in-law that keeps getting busted for meth.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah, but the other talk too is that they had done some, of course, plenty of work together when both were still with Konami, and so it is official that Hirano is going to be working on assisting Kojima Pro with Death Stranding. So, yay!
Cool. All right, maybe somebody will be hired to help us all understand the plot. That would be wonderful. Of course, they don't want to give it away this early. Gotta wait for the game to come out.
We'll know the plot soon enough when the game's out. So
I don't know if I'd use the word soon in discussing Death Stranding's
release.
Well,
you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Of course I do.
Soon is relative.
Yeah. This is Blizzard soon type of scale.
This is eventually.
All right, moving on, Loki.
So apparently Capcom is going to be tweaking their rules for rage quitting on Street Fighter V. If you are a person that rage quits quite a bit in Street Fighter V, you're going to actually get branded with a profile icon and also something in your profile that says, hey, this guy, you know, rage quits a lot or something to that effect, you know.
So you're going to get a scarlet letter.
Yes, yeah, basically like a scarlet letter. That's a scarlet R for rage quitting. Yeah. So that's good because rage quitters suck.
Yeah, I'm curious what you all think about this, especially in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Is this deserved? Or is there maybe fear that this could get misapplied to somebody with like a bad internet connection or something like that?
No, you know what? I think this is fine as long as they do it like the same way as like they do like Grand Theft Auto 5 through Grand Theft Auto Online. Like if you're cheating or exploiting stuff, you'll get put into this like special place where you only play with cheaters.
Quitter Island.
Yeah, Quitter Island or whatever. So, but then after some time, you get put back into the normal pool of players. So I'm hoping that that's kind of the same thing here, that after, you know, in case if there's an issue where maybe you had some internet connection problems and you accidentally got put into that, that's not permanent.
Maya in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, people are still playing Street Fighter V? I get the feeling it's probably not quite the machine that Street Fighter 4 was. But you know, there was that whole Capcom Cup that happened at the PlayStation Experience, and you know, I even caught the tail end of it, and I was like, okay, this is, you know, I'm feeling this. This is fun. But then again, I haven't exactly ran out and bought the game either. I think they they screwed the launch of that game so hard. It just kind of it's fallen off my radar. What can I say? Kaijudo in chat says, don't troll the rage quitters. Take down their rank. Stoppy in chat says, I have terrible internet, so yes, I would be worried about this. Let's see. YYR says Street Fighter V was just on deeply discounted sale for the holidays, so I figure a bunch of people just grabbed it for $20. Yeah, I saw that. It was on whatever that sale was on PlayStation recently, or the ongoing holiday sale. I think it was a part of that sale. And yeah, I guess Capcom's thinking they'll make the money with all the, you know, season characters and the additional stuff they're going to throw out there, that maybe they only get $20 off you now. But maybe you'll be enticed to buy the season 2 pack, which will be another $20 or whatever.
Yeah, you might be enticed. Or you can just wait for the goddamn Game of the Year edition or whatever, you know, collector's edition, Alpha, Arcade, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Just wait. Just wait. It'll come out.
SG100 Matt in chat says, Quitter Island, where there is no tribal council because everyone gave up during the immunity challenge. Yes. It's just like that. Everybody just gave up. All right. Moving on to a game that I'm very excited about that is coming out next year, hopefully, if nothing gets delayed. Dragon Quest XI. Some of the first details were revealed about Dragon Quest XI. Part of the reason I'm excited about this is, you know, Dragon Quest X was an MMO, which never even came out here, so it may as well not exist as far as I'm concerned. Dragon Quest IX was handheld, which is cool, but... So I feel like we haven't like had like a console game since Dragon Quest VIII. So this is fun. I'm excited for Dragon Quest XI, which, as a reminder, it's coming out for PlayStation 4 and 3DS. So interesting that it's both. Also in development for the Nintendo Switch. So, but the Jump Festa event happened in Japan. I believe that is some type of like big, like it's like a Comic-Con, but in Japan for like manga and that anime and that type of stuff. So Jump Festa just happened this week in Japan, and there was a new Dragon Quest XI trailer that showed up. There's some more characters that you can see in there, and there is a new character called Camus, which is a blue-haired thief. That sounds like that, like, wasn't that actually, I'm going to get a text. Wasn't that one of the characters in Suikoden, Shane? And now this guy has blue hair. I would think Shane's very excited about the release of Dragon Quest XI. We'll see. Anyway, you can check out the trailer. It's out there. It has some of the sweet music in the game that you've grown to expect and all that good stuff. So I'm excited. And Shane says it's Camus is how you say it. Oh, bummer. That's not how it's written like, though. C-A-M-U-S. But all those funky pronunciations. Fifth Dream in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, I'm excited for Dragon Quest Heroes 2. So. All right. Excited for Dragon Quest 11. More details soon, I hope. Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
Stuff. Well, you all saw that during the whole winter event in Overwatch, everyone got these legendary skins, right?
Not everyone got them. But
well,
they're available, yes.
Okay. Well, but a lot of people were bitching about Maze because pretty much almost everyone else had completely different skins. They were different. Hers, though, really looked like a reskinning of her normal outfit. I mean, down to everything, just kind of Santa trimmed. And
so like just a palette swap like they do for some of the non-legendary colors.
A few different textures, but yeah. And apparently people were so pissed over it that Blizzard actually apologized.
Huh.
The game director, Jeff Kaplan, said on the forums, sorry you were disappointed with Maze Winter Skin. We just sort of make a gut call based on what we think is cool. We thought it was pretty special, and we had done it specifically based on community suggestions from months ago when people were speculating that we might have a winter event. Apologies that our cool meter was off from yours on this one.
Doesn't she... actually, Shane just texted. May has a snowman. Why didn't he just come to the show tonight?
She turns into a snowman.
Yeah, she turns into a snowman.
For ice block.
Yeah, which is what people think is cute.
But her outfit is just a reskin.
There's a part of me that's like, this is a gamershateeverything.com situation. But... at the same time, the problem is that Overwatch's system of the loot boxes and charging money for them, yes, you can unlock them in-game, but we all know there's people that are dropping a lot of money on the loot boxes. So there's also a part of me that says, well, some of the feedback and irritation is kind of justified now that money is involved, that people are paying on top of the game fee of $60, $50, whatever it is you bought it on sale, that price. So I don't know. I kind of think the snowman thing sort of like, okay, well, that's really cool and different. And I think people will use the skin for that, if nothing else. But at the same time, if Blizzard's going to charge for this, then if you don't like it, go give them the feedback. Why not?
It's more the fact that the other characters were so wildly different and hers pretty much just looked the same, just a different color.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Just a few more stories before we get to the classic game of the week, Loki.
So this is pretty awesome. Right now, until the 31st of December, you can go download Lost Odyssey for free. That's right. On Xbox 360 or Xbox One with backwards compatibility, there is no reason whatsoever that you shouldn't go just mark this for download. I did it today. You don't even need Xbox Live Gold to do it. Go do it right now.
Because you don't even need gold.
You don't even need gold.
Wow.
Because my gold's expired.
My God. Go get this game, people. Like, seriously? Like, it's open a new browser window, go to sign into your Microsoft account, and get this game. Because you'll kick yourself if you don't. It's a fantastic JRPG. Worth your time.
Seriously. And it's free. I mean, it's hours worth of entertainment.
I can't believe that they're just giving it away for free. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, because they added Blue Dragon and Lost Odyssey, and they're giving it Lost Odyssey away for free until the end of the year.
I guess they just figure no money left to be made off it. Man, I really wish there'd be a Lost Odyssey 2, though.
I'm hoping. Maybe with this offering, for free, we can get an announcement next year.
I don't know. I don't know what Mistwalker's doing these days. Didn't they move into the mobile space finally? I don't know, but I just feel like that's probably not going to happen.
Honestly, though, like a mobile version of Lost Odyssey wouldn't be all that bad. It's a turn-based, fighting or turn-based, RPG. So it's not like you need a lot of precision in the controls and everything. I think mobile would be fine, especially just navigating the map and stuff.
YYR points out, even if you own the disc, do it. You will then own a digital copy. Yeah, who knows how long the disc will last. YYR continues on to saying they didn't just add them to backwards compatibility. They are now digital copies available. Yeah, that was one of the things. When Lost Odyssey first went backwards compatible, people couldn't buy it on the store.
Yeah, and I think I must have sold my disc at one time because I can't find them anymore. So, yes, absolutely. We'll have to play this at some point, either on my 360 or on an Xbox One, whenever I get one.
All right. Go get it. You'll kick yourself if you don't. And I need to install Blue Dragon now, too. I keep forgetting they added that one, and I have the disc for that. That one's not free, but yeah.
I think it's like $20 if you want to pick it up.
All right, moving on to stories about Pokemon Go, which a lot of our hosts are still playing. I left it out of my gaming week, but I hit level 23 this week in Pokemon Go. So, yes, even I'm still playing this a little bit.
I'm not playing it that hardcore, but like I'm playing it a little bit. What's nice, though, is now I think they've mixed up where stuff spawns. So, like, usually if I boot up the app, there's at least one or two Pokemon sitting there. So it's kind of nice.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing here. It was a Pikachu nest, but now the things have rotated. I think we're like a Nidoran male nest or something not very exciting. Yeah, kind of lame. Even though I've caught two Jigglypuffs, so it could be a Jigglypuff nest, and I'm just, I don't know. But anyway, here's the thing, is that there was a lot of changes to Pokemon Go this week, including the addition of Generation 2 Pokemon, sort of.
The babies.
Just, six or seven Babymon are available now, and they only hatch in eggs.
And they're kind of useless because if you evolve them, they just go to back to...
Yeah, they're really just for Dex people. People that really want Gen 2 Pokemon. Like, I'm not going to lie. I've been trying to hatch a crazy ton of eggs because I want an Igglybuff. Like, crazy. A Smoochum would be fucking rad, too. But there really isn't, like... I don't think you're going to get a lot of value off putting these in a gym. I don't see people evolving these into the forms that are more easily catchable other places, except for maybe Togepi. Togepi would be the one difference, which apparently somebody on Reddit, because it's always somebody on Reddit, did collect enough Togepi where they were able to evolve it into Togekek, or Togekek, sorry, I can never remember the pronunciation, but they evolved it into the next form. So that is something you can do, but very hard to do. So a lot of people are saying this is a really cheap fucking way for Niantic to sell incubators. on all this hype.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think it would be nice if maybe Niantic would think about giving away some incubators or incentivizing that. Or, like, if you visit 10 Pokestops in a day during the holiday event, you'll get an incubator so you can try to get the Gen 2 Pokemon. Like, I just think...
Or here's an idea, because you just, you know, sealed out those, you know, wonderful retail deals and brand deals and stuff like that. How about if you visit, like, a Starbucks or something like that, you get an incubator, you know...
Yeah, it ties into something like that.
You know, first two times or one time.
Yeah. So, also, if you haven't been keeping track, the Starbucks thing went live, the Sprint thing went live. So, there's a lot more Pokestops out there now if you have Starbucks in your neighborhood, which doesn't everybody in the U.S. Sorry, this is limited to the U.S. But doesn't everybody in the U.S. have a Starbucks nearby?
Like four or five.
I guess you know what, I take that back. There, and before chatters jump down my throat, there are some parts of the country that I guess don't have them. Like I remember when I was taking all those trips for work out to Pennsylvania. I spent a lot of time out in Allentown. There was like no Starbucks anywhere there except for like one at a Barnes and Noble, I think. I don't know if that's changed. I haven't been there for like 8 years, so I don't know if that's changed since then. But I guess there are still some parts of the country that don't have a lot of Starbucks, but maybe they have Sprint stores. I don't know. So anyway, wow. Fifth Dream in chat says, no idea where the nearest one is. I don't have one here. Wow. I guess I just take it for granted being in California that they're like everywhere. Maya in chat points out Dunkin' Donuts has the Northeast on lockdown. See, maybe, but when I was in New York City, I still felt like I saw a Starbucks everywhere. So, I don't know. Anyway. There you go. That's some of the changes to Pokemon Go. There's also a holiday event, if you haven't already heard. You can now catch Pikachu wearing a Santa hat. The Santa hat will stay with Pikachu after the event is over. If you evolve a Pikachu with a Santa hat, it will become a Raichu with a Santa hat.
I've seen wild Raichus as well with Santa hats.
Oh, really? No, I haven't seen those yet.
Catch, yeah.
Oh, cool. So, yeah, both of those will stay in your inventory permanently. So if you want to celebrate Christmas all the time with your Pokemon, you can do that. So check that out. All right. Let's move on. We're going to get to our classic game of the week. Before we do our classic game of the week, though, Dark Sakura, I suppose we should tell the listeners what we were talking about before the show. Yep. So we're going to do some twists to the show in 2017, right? What a twist.
We'll be twisting things.
It's after 15 years, we need to shake some things up, right?
That and I... That's going to be 52 games, practically, maybe less if we skip a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm running out of good ones. So.
Now, there is a major franchise that's unrepresented. So.
No.
Be quiet. All of you. So, what? No, we're not getting rid of the segment. We're not getting rid of it,
but we're going to change things up. So, next year, on the last. Or, you know, I'll probably just do it the second Sunday of the month.
At some point during the month, once a month.
Because there's not always, it's the last Sunday's going to change depending, so I'll just always do the second Sunday.
Okay.
I am going to be doing a classic game system of the month. And I'm going for semi-obscurity because there are other systems out there that, at least in America, that we haven't heard of. You know, I've mentioned some, you know, like, I mean, I'm sure people know that there were a series of Atari computers, but didn't know that there were games specific to them or what their capabilities were. You know, I've mentioned the ZX Spectrum. I've mentioned the Amstrad CPC. I've mentioned
the Xbox. I'm just kidding. Girl. The Xbox will not be in the list.
But I mean, like, you know, there was Sega had the Pico back in the day for kids. You know, there's all kinds of, you know, CDI, you know, you name it, you know, and then regional specific ones, very especially in the handheld market. Oh, my God. But I figured that we would introduce y'all to a few of the kind of obscure, maybe some not so obscure that you might not be familiar with.
But some of them are like, oh yeah, I've heard of this, but like my rich friend owned one,
or like,
or my friend overseas owned one.
I've seen this in a YouTube video once.
Yeah.
You know, so I just decided that it would be something that would you know, throw a little bit of difference in there and introduce y'all to what some of the features of those systems were. And if you think, oh, that's neat, I think I'll try to find one. Good luck.
So
very much good luck.
Classic console of the month coming to you in 2017.
Yep.
Except I'm just realizing, do you realize the second Sunday in January, we have no show. So
well, I'll do it whenever I feel like it.
It's that, thank you. Darksoccer, don't set a date. Just it'll be a surprise show once a month. The classic console of the month.
Like, let's see. Oh, it's that time of the month again.
All right. I like that. That should be the intro. Guess what? It's that time of the month. All right.
That means I'd have to like watch the month cycle and everything, and that just gets annoying.
All right. For now, though, it's that time of the week. We still have lots of games to cover. Despite what Darksoccer says, if she can't think of 52 games, I'll help, because there's still lots of Commodore 64 shit you haven't touched. So
hey, now,
I'll help. And
I've touched some of it.
And there's lots of Xbox games you haven't touched.
And then I needed a shot after I touched it.
All right. Here it is, the classic game of the week.
Classic game of the week is Viewpoint, which is an isometric shooter that came out, of course, in arcades. It was developed by ICOM, but it was released by SAMMY and SNK together for the Neo Geo NVS. It came out in 1992, and it is fairly unique that it is SAMMY's only game for the Neo Geo NVS. It had one player and two player modes that you play one after each other, although there was simultaneous play and service mode. And you also had basically it is a shooter, kind of Zaxxon like, on a diagonal plane, though, the way that it did. And the ship had its primary weapons, but it also had bombs, ones that make like a wave of fire. And then another one that's like a circular Nova Blast, and another one that does mini missiles. And the game itself has six stages. The game itself, I mean, it had a home release that came out on the Genesis or Master System, but the Master System version wasn't even really all that great. It had a lot of slowdown. The company that did the release for it, now for the life of me, I can't remember what the company that did the conversion was, but they are notorious for having done bad conversions, and so it didn't have any other kind of release. Stop distracting me, Stoppy in chat. At any rate...
Stop reading chat, Darksoccer.
Girl. Anyway... there's really not a lot to say about it. Basically, as a with its isometric viewpoint, it makes it interesting because you have on-screen obstacles to dodge as well as the shooting factors. Like, there's places where spiked walls will come out and you have to dodge them, and you get different shields as the game progresses and other options with it as you go through. It is a pretty, though, standard shooter. However, it's got really excellent music. And the graphics are really sharp, especially for the Neo Geo version. But there were other versions that actually looked better. And it's not necessarily a super easy game on top of that. As far as those other versions that came out, and this is sort of actually what inspired me to do the classic console of the week, is that it...
Month,
whatever. It's a classic console of whenever the fuck that I want to do
whenever
it.
I feel like it.
Right? So, there was, like I said, the Genesis/Mega Drive version. There was a Sharp X68000 version. They planned a Saturn version, but it was canceled. The PlayStation version, it pretty much is just like the Neo Geo version, but it has... it was redeveloped by Visual Concepts, and so all of the visuals were redone. You know, the layouts and everything are the same. It is the same game. They did, like, that reskinning and where everything was, like, retextured. But it's pre-rendered graphics. It wasn't, like, live 3D. So it was one of those weird, PlayStation era remake,
like Sonic 3D kind of look.
Yeah, kind of.
Because Sonic 3D, like as cool of a game as it was, it kind of looked junky. Like in retrospect, it looks kind of junky.
Well, Sonic 3D Blast was, in my opinion, I think a precursor to what was being developed as Sonic Adventure, if I recall correctly, for its development cycle. But anyway. The best version of this was on a system that I had only heard of in passing, and it's called the FM Towns, and it was a Fujitsu computer system. And in fact, the Towns itself had a console version called the Marty. And trust me, you guys, you'll be hearing about this, because I was digging deep into this one. It seems cool.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I'm not going to go any further than that, because I'm going to be talking about it soon. Anyway, it's the truest arcade version, and that system actually had graphic upscaling, so it was a higher resolution game, and the music was better quality. So it actually is one of the few console ports of that era that improved on the arcade version. So that's pretty notable. Now, the Genesis version, it was pretty similar to the Neo Geo arcade one, but had fewer enemies, a lower color palette, and had a lot of slowdown. And the X68000 version was fairly like the Genesis one. Although, as I recall, I think it had even worse slowdown. It was pretty bad. But, I mean, it all stayed faithful to the graphic style. The only one that's really different graphically is the PlayStation one. So, the game itself got really, really good reviews. In fact, it was awarded Best Graphics and Best Music in a Video Game for EGM's 1992 Video Game Awards. For Famicom Tsushin, it got 30 out of 40. The Neo Geo Arcade version had really good reviews from Computer and Video Games. It had a 95%. It just really was well received. And of course, there were plenty of comparisons to Zaxxon.
Yeah, that's the vibe I totally get from this. It's like a Zaxxon type of game. I like it. I like that a lot.
But the
I never heard of this before, by the way.
But the big thing about it is just that the music itself was really interesting. It was one of the big things that stood out. Can we play a little bit?
Yeah, let me turn it up a little bit. Looks like our YouTuber has made it to the second stage of the game.
Yeah, it's kind of... You know, the first level had a little bit more of a hip-hop vibe to it, but this one's a bit dancier. But it was one of the big things that stuck out, that, and it's just very striking visuals and animated backgrounds. But the thing that really does, you know, stick out for me is just sort of how this did fall into obscurity. We remember Zaxxon. But, I mean, I'll be perfectly honest. This game, to me, seems a little bit more fun than Zaxxon. You know, it's definitely one that actually is not in our Genesis collection that I would like to add. Although, to be perfectly honest, I would rather find an MVS cart conversion for it and play it on my Neo Geo. There was a sequel planned for it for Nintendo 64 called Viewpoint 2064. But Sammy was having problems. So it got canceled. However, a prototype for it surfaced on October 2015 on an online auction. And that's the last that we've heard of Viewpoint.
Sad.
Sad.
All right.
Neat game.
Well, if that's all you got, then there it is.
That's all I got.
Our classic game of the week, Viewpoint. Spotlighted on the Neo Geo, although, as Darksucker said, it was on a lot of different systems. So check it out. All right, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we got plenty more show to come. Rapid fire news, mailbag, what's in stores this week, some stuff on Twitch, some stuff on Mega Man, some stuff on Shenmue 3 when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Your calls as well at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, right after this break. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 670 in progress for this December the 18th of 2016. Part B is beginning right now with you guys in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, or those of you that are listening on our Magic Podcast feed. And I hope you're subscribed to us in iTunes or Google Play Podcast or wherever it is that you found our little show. Please consider leaving us a nice review while you're there. That word of mouth goes an awful long way. Before we get into rapid fire news, I thought I'd ask this question. Before the theme park thing came up, I thought this would be kind of an appropriate time to talk about this for a kickoff topic. But, you know, I was thinking about this since I beat Final Fantasy 15 this past week. That was kind of like, you know, like the big game that I had to finish this year that I wanted to finish. But now that I have a couple weeks left and, you know, there's going to be a few days off of work because of the holidays, are there any video games that you feel like you need, like in your backlog, like you really need to finish them this year? Like there's games you really got to get around to this year. And I open this up to our chat room as well over at live.vognetwork.com. What do you need to play right now before the year's over?
There's a lot of games that I've just bought that I have to play that I feel that I'm obligated to play because I purchased them, like Watch Dogs 2. I started that and I never really did anything. I mean, I kind of stopped playing it for a while. But I have this bad habit, like I keep buying games because they're great deals on PlayStation Network. And then I'm like, but I really should work on my game and making that stuff. Like I've been purchasing a ton of VR stuff. Like I've got a ton of VR games now that I haven't touched at all because I just haven't gotten around to doing that. And I even looked at myself. I'm like, dude, I can't really leave this VR stuff just sitting here because that's what I did at the Rift. You know, I bought a bunch of stuff and I did stuff and then I kind of like let it sit in the box. So I need to go back in and play some of that some more. But and I do want to. It's just I've been kind of just picking up stuff as it's cheap. But is there any games I really need to finish this year? Probably not. I would like to finish Final Fantasy 15, but then I'd have to actually start playing Final Fantasy 15. Hell, even Just Cause 3, which I picked up last year, I played a little bit and it was buggy shit, and I really wanted to go finish it. But I don't know, it's some of those games are just very tedious. Well, Watch Dogs 2 had kind of an interesting story, so I may have to.
It seems like a lot of people are really enjoying Watch Dogs 2 more than the first one, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. Yeah. Yeah. And it had like a pretty interesting story. It's just kind of that grind to get all the your abilities and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of grindy, but even the multiplayer stuff is pretty fun. So it'd be kind of fun to go back to that. But then again, it's like, you know, if I want to kind of a dumb, you know, just fun experience, like Fallout 4, I need to go back to play because I have all the DLC for it and I haven't touched any of it.
That's on my list too.
And I haven't touched any of the mods yet.
I haven't been able to touch it on PlayStation 4 yet.
Yeah, so I mean, that's something that, and I want to go back to Grand Theft Auto 5 online at some point because there's a ton of, like, just so many features that they've added since I played last. It's just ridiculous. We should have some story DLC, but, you know, that's, I guess, never going to happen. And in Skyrim, you know, I'm still playing Skyrim, even though I've played the same section of Skyrim like 80 times probably, and it's still fun. That's that's why, like, when they're saying that game's coming out on the Switch, everyone's like, well, it's so old. That's a game you can play over and over because it's so extensive that you forget half the stuff that happens, and it's, like, new again.
Yeah. You know what Alan's been playing a lot lately is Morrowind.
Yes, I see him playing Morrowind all the time.
He's playing it all the time, but he's, you know, that's what he's really
into. That's a game I've never played. I bet I have it in my Steam library.
I'm sure everybody does. I think the one Elder Scrolls game I haven't seen him play, well, then I don't think a lot of people play like Arena or the really old ones anymore, but I don't think I've seen him play Oblivion. That's the only one I haven't seen him play.
It's been a while.
He'll probably play that eventually.
Yeah. I would love a remaster of Oblivion or even Morrowind. Let's do Morrowind too.
Yeah,
because I've never really touched Morrowind. So,
so games you want to finish before the year is over. I'll get to Darksoccer in a minute, and I'll tell my own. But looking at chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Fifth Dream says Telltale Batman, and that's one that I definitely want to get to as well. Fifth Dream says Pokemon Moon. That's on my list for sure. I have the team to do it. I just need to, you know, sit down and grind that out. Let's see. Stoppy says Killzone Shadowfall. I have too many first-person shooter games in the backlog. Maya says I'm on a race to finish, in parentheses, start the Mass Effect series before Andromeda releases. Get on that. Let's see. Alan Alchemy says they're rebuilding Morrowind and Oblivion in Skyrim, akin to Black Mesa and Half-Life. Oh, that's pretty cool.
That'd be pretty fantastic.
They being officially Bethesda or
no, mod people.
Fans. Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. For me, one game that everybody's talking about that I think I can finish pretty quickly because I hear it's only like 3 or 4 hours long. I want to play Inside. because like a lot of people are telling me like seriously,
yeah,
Robbie, you need to play
good.
That. Yeah,
I may have that. I don't remember if I have that or not.
I don't think I do.
Was it one of those free games? They may have had it. There's a lot of games I have on my PlayStation account that I have no idea what they are.
If they did do it, I neglected to get it, which, you know, my bad on that. But that's something I definitely want to get to as well. So that's pretty high on my list. Otherwise, I like Fallout 4, I think, as well, and Pokemon Sun and Moon. I really want to finish it because a lot of people that have played through it say the story gets pretty good in the third and fourth islands. So I'm wanting to get there. And now Shane just gave me all the Pokemon I wanted, so I don't even have to worry about the collection part of it. It's just vroom, just
or
get through
you
the
know
game.
Earth Defense Force 4.1. It'd be nice to go through as well.
Darksakura, anything on your list? Like games you have to do before the year's over?
I'm gonna finish Danganronpa 2. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Nothing really on my have to list. I've just been, you know, I'm kind of digging the not being married to a game, mm-hmm. or my games in general. I've just been enjoying playing what I want to, when I want to, the way I want to. So
I do what I want.
That's right. But I mean, the only one that I would feel like a major obligation to want to get done is Danganronpa 2, even though I already know how the whole game goes. Because V3 will be out before too long.
Right, and even though sometimes you might know like the ending to a game, like, you know, you still need to play it. Like, I think a lot of people know how like Final Fantasies 4 and 6 probably end up, but if you've never played them, you need to play them. Like, they're such good games, you know?
Yeah.
So, but not the mobile phone versions.
I think maybe the whole thing is that I know how what happens to one of the characters I like a whole lot, mm-hmm. and I don't want to get to that point, but at the same time, I'll get there.
And I think SSJ100 Matt in our chat really sums up a lot of this nicely in our chat room, saying, my backlog will be worse in the next week because of the sale on Steam.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yep.
Thankfully, though, we're getting to a point, I mean, not much of a point, but we're getting to a point where, like, a lot of the games that are on sale, I probably already own. And so, like, that list every year just keeps getting more and more in your library, in your library. I'm like, oh, Will, I don't remember purchasing that, but there it is.
I don't mean to keep pushing our rapid news back, but this is just something that occurs to me as we're talking about Steam, and I think this is something I want to discuss and get the listeners' input on this as well. Does it feel like the bubble might be starting to burst with Steam? Like, I feel like this year especially, there's been a lot more negative stuff on Steam than there has been in any other year. And a lot of it's the fact that their store is filled with shovelware at this point. Like, wasn't there some article, I don't know, this week or last week about how like 40% of the games on Steam were released in this past year?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are starting to get like Valve was the company that could do no wrong. Like, good guy Gabe Newell, right? And like, there's all this the Steam sale and the Hallelujah Choir and all that stuff. But I feel like there's starting to be a lot more pushback towards Steam. And some of that, I honestly feel like some of that is resentment because Valve hasn't made a fucking game in a long time. Note, yes, I completely understand the HTC Vive, and they've done all that stuff, and but there hasn't been a Portal, there hasn't been a Half-Life, there hasn't been Left 4 Dead. What game has Valve done recently?
Dota.
Of a triple, okay, so Dota. But again, Dota...
That's a few years old now.
People will, it's a few years old, and people are going to strongly disagree with me, but that's kind of a niche game. It's a very popular niche game.
Are we still waiting for the new Source engine? Because I thought that that's being worked on, and once that gets out, then I'm sure there's going to be a game or two with that.
I don't know.
The only attention that Steam's had for me lately, I'm looking at the sale now, I just haven't looked at it, is that Hiveswap, the Homestuck game, is now in Greenlight. Hmm. So I would appreciate it if friends would also just say yes on it so that
I'm sure
it gets
that it's going to get through. I mean, come on.
I would still appreciate it.
And there's a lot of garbage that gets through. But here's the thing. It's like, I don't know, not all that stuff's being voted on green light. Like, somehow some of that stuff's getting just published. And I don't know. I think, though, like with the sales, I'm not that hyped on their sales anymore because there's so many deals throughout the year. It's like, you know, big deal. And they don't do, and I think that, you know, now that everything's on sale, like, once you kind of hit the store and you're like, okay, I've seen everything, now I don't have to
come
back.
They're not as events as they used to be.
Yeah, because before it was an event and there'd be different things each day, and that keeps having you go back to the store, which I think is a good thing. But like, now it's like, you see what's on there, you see the list, and you're like, well, not anything I really want. I'm going to go check the other sites that have them be doing the sales at the same time, or like, you know, the PlayStation Network. And I'm sure the same with Live, because I haven't really been purchasing on Live because I don't have, you know, account on there anymore that I use. But, you know, they do flash sales like all the time. There's always a sale going on, you know, like PlayStation Network stuff. And that's what I'm touching more than I am my Steam library.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase toy.
Stoppy in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, if by bubble you mean it's not as special as it used to be, then yes, you no longer get good discounts and the quality control is non-existent now. Kaijudo following up saying early access is hurting Steam too. Lots of unfinished games in early access, like the dev just gives up on the game and leaves. They rage quit. And then, let's see, SS200 Matt saying, where's Ragenator for this conversation? Yeah, I know. LOL, I'm doing it when he's not here. No, but I mean, the whole fact that, you know, maybe Steam isn't as special as it used to be either because of things like Good Old Games, Itch.io, you know, these other storefront, Origin, shit. You know, Origin's come a long way. I remember when Origin was the thing we all pointed and laughed at, but, you know, it's come a long way. It has its perks. I still think there's not enough variety on Origin for me. It's very much the EA and friends store, but, you know, it's come a long way. So maybe that's why I kind of feel like Valve needs to, like, make a game. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Anyway, Fifth Dream says, Valve can't 3. YYR says, Valve can't release a game with 3 in its title. The world might end. And ActDev says, if Leo won an Oscar, Valve can release a game with a 3 on it. And YYR concludes with this, don't worry, super multitasking is coming out next year. Things are going to turn around. Woo! That's true. At least we have something to look forward to on Steam and possibly other stores.
I really wish, though, like, I don't know how hard it is to publish, like, on the PlayStation platforms anymore, but I really wish there was something like, you know, XNA or even, like, the PlayStation Mobile stuff that they had before, because that was, like, really cool to see all that on there. And I know that there's a lot of garbage on Steam, but I think if they just had some way to better review everything, like, a lot of that would be kind of pointed out. And a lot of the stuff that comes out nowadays you assume is working, and it's just, like, it's straight up broken. Like, if there is some sort of moderation to get that shit off the storefront, if it's literally not working, then that should be taken down.
Alan Alchemy in chat says, I haven't gotten a booster pack in over a year. I know it's RNG, but that seems ridiculous to me. I maybe get one every two or three months. Yeah, I rarely see them pop up either. Remember, though, if you're not logging into Steam once a week, you're not eligible. But with all the you know, Elder Scrolls games that Alan's been playing, I'm sure he's refreshing his eligibility. So that's interesting. Let's see. YYR says, supposedly anyone can publish on PlayStation Network, but you have to have a dev kit. Same thing on Nintendo platforms. Xbox One requires approval. All right. Anyway, thank you for the side discussion. Unscripted, unlisted. Let's get into some rapid fire news. Loki.
All right. So remember when the last Assassin's Creed game, or I'm sorry, the kind of update to Assassin's Creed, they did like the remaster of during the Ezio collection, and one of the, there's a video out there with some of the strange NPCs, because they kind of randomly generate, and there's, it just looked, you know, like they had a whole problem with rendering faces, you know. So one of the things they did this week is they actually patched out the weird NPC face. So that's patch 1.02. Good, I guess. It's a start. The other thing that's kind of interesting, the new Call of Duty remaster, Modern Warfare remastered, they're going to be getting more maps into the game. So that's kind of cool, because when it released, the multiplayer maps weren't all there. So now they're adding some new stuff, including the variety map packs. So you're going to get all the DLC there. Also some new game modes, hardpoint, capture point, and gun game. This is going to be pretty awesome. And then they're adding the holiday theme crash and some more, six throwback multiplayer maps, they said. So now it should have all of them. The other thing, though, that they're adding, which probably isn't exactly welcome, is customization items. So that means, you know, weapons, reticles, uniforms, camos, and all that stuff. But they're also adding basically DLC, like loot crates with that stuff. So a game that didn't have that before, now they're adding it to it. In fact, one of the things that they're adding to the game as well is also female skins, player skins, but you can only unlock them in a loot crate.
Ooh. That's not a good idea.
Well, they weren't in the original game, but yeah, I think that's stupid.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, moving on. The NES Classic Edition has apparently become the must-have Christmas thing this year, not just for gamers, but for a lot of casual people who grew up in that era. So it's making these NES Classic Editions impossible to find. It doesn't help that Nintendo can't do hardware inventories. But anyhow, apparently there's going to be one more chance to get an NES Classic Edition. It will be in stock at various Best Buys on December 20th at over 1,000 stores across the United States. But we don't know how many per store or anything like that. But they are saying that the NES Classic Edition will be sold on a first-come, first-served basis. And the Best Buy stores will have a ticketing process for customers waiting in line. This is coming from, by the way, Best Buy's corporate site. So this is coming from them. This is not a rumor or anything like that. Best Buy is saying, yes, we will have them on December 20th, limited to one per customer. So good luck if you're going to go do that. You know, Alan asked me, he's like, do you want me to go wait for an NES Classic thing? And I thought that was really sweet that he offered to do that. But I'm just, I have to be honest, I was kind of like, I just don't, I mean, if we get one, cool, I'll play it. I'll stream with it. It'll be fun. Neat. They're cool little devices, I guess. But I'm not feeling the hype that a lot of people are. I'm just not. And actually, this whole limited inventory thing kind of makes me resent it a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, it makes me want one less. Because I'm like, I don't want to buy into all this fucking craziness type of thing. But anyway, Yooka-Laylee has a release date. You know, Yooka-Laylee that was crowdfunded, right? Yeah. Banjo-Kazooie's basically spiritual successor from ex-Rare devs, now with a company called Playtonic. Apparently, a release date has been announced. It's April 11th for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. But guess what? Not happening on the Wii U. That's right.
I'm not surprised.
Unforeseen technical issues preventing the release on the Wii U. So if you back the game for the Wii U version, you can change your pledge to any of the other versions for free. Also, you can wait for the Switch port. So they are looking into doing a Switch port instead. You could switch your Wii U over to a Switch version in 2017. Wii U backers for the game will be messaged on how to change the pledges. You can also get a straight-up refund if you're that mad about the cancellation on Wii U. But it seems logical that, getting canceled in favor of the Switch, not too surprising. By the way, rumors going around that same thing's about to happen to Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night. So that game on track. Excuse me. Oh, sneezes are horrible when you're doing radio. Sorry about that. The game is still supposed to be coming out in 2018, but will the Wii U still be connected to your TV in 2018?
No, that will not be coming out on the Wii U, I guarantee it.
So, yeah, rumor is that that is going to be the next one that's going to jump ship over to the Switch. But again, if you're a Nintendo loyalist, I'm sure you're going to be getting a Switch anyway, so it's probably not too hard to get upset because, hey, at least that means you'll get the desktop, the console, and the portable version on the Switch. So there is that. There is that. A couple more from Dark Sakura.
Well, for our people who are still playing Minecraft, there's going to be a Fallout-themed area with costumes and everything coming that will come soon on PS3, PS4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One, and Wii U for $5.99.
Oh, they're actually charging for this. It's kind of weird because a lot of those paid DLCs that they had on other platforms, like on the Wii U, they were like free.
Yeah, but like the Mass Effect one wasn't free.
Yeah, it was.
What?
On the Wii U? Yeah, that's weird. It's
on the Wii U.
Yeah, because on the Wii U one, like my son was playing that, and I was like, wait, I didn't buy any of those.
Your son did it when you weren't
looking. No, he didn't buy any of those either, but like it was just offered.
But it'll also have a different sandbox area with different objectives to complete, like a mini campaign. And also, there is a Kickstarter that is, it looks like they've got 26 days to go, called In the Line of Fire, which is a 3D first-person shooter for the Dreamcast. Yes, for the Dreamcast. And it looks like their goal is to raise $45,000. They are at $6,191 as of this moment. And it's being developed by Militia Studios. So if you want a new Dreamcast game, well, if you do $20, you get your name in the credits. If you pay $50, you get the game. So, yay. It looks like a Dreamcast game.
But that's not necessarily... I get a kick out of these whole, like, we're going to develop for an old system type of thing. It seems like the Dreamcast still has a lot of love, you know?
It does, but at the same time, you know, sometimes you just got to let it go.
Let it go. No. Let it go.
I should go. I should go.
No. Things I can't wait to leave behind in 2016. Actually, should have been left behind in 2015.
Right.
Anyhow, how about what's in stores this week, Loki? As if probably not a lot, right?
Not a whole ton. There is actually some stuff. So this will be pretty much the last releases you get for this year. So starting off, HTC Vive is getting their version of Eagle Flight. Halo Wars Definitive Edition coming to PC and Xbox One. Shantae Half-G Hero on PC, PlayStation 4, Vita, Wii U, and Xbox One. The Walking Dead Season 3, Episode 1 and 2, The Ties That Bind. That's going to be coming out on PC, Mac, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and mobile. Wild Guns Reloaded on PlayStation 4. Don Bradman Cricket 17 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And finally, Roller Coaster Dreams on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation VR.
Over in Japan, things don't seem to be slowing down this week. There's still quite a few releases on the PlayStation 4 this week. Steep gets its Japanese release. That's the what extreme skiing game.
It's skiing, snowboarding.
Yeah, extreme winter weather type sports.
Extreme jumping off a mountain.
Steep game. Mountains. Get it? So Steep is coming out in Japan.
It's not about making tea.
No, it is not about making tea. Steep is coming out in Japan this week. Also, a game called Fushigi no Gensokyo TOD Reloaded comes out in a regular and limited edition this week. A Sherlock Holmes game on the PlayStation 4, The Devil's Daughter, comes out this week in Japan as well. And I think an accessory here, this is a Real Arcade Pro 5, like an arcade fighting stick, which looks like it's pretty heavy-duty quality. That is out on the PlayStation 4 this week as well. The Vita isn't slowing down. That same Fushigi no Gensokyo game is out there as well. Also, Hatsuru Kotonaki Miriyori comes out this week. Kengakimi Momoyo Tsuzuri comes out in a regular and limited edition this week. And Haru Kanaru Toki no Naka Day 6 Gentu Rondo comes out this week on the Vita as well, because the Vita in Japan ain't dead. In fact, there's still like lots of releases every week. And in Japan this week, I'm excited for this, the Sega 3D Collection. There's a 3D Collection Part 3 coming out this week in Japan that looks like, I'm trying to see what it has. It looks like it has Outrun, or at least one of the Outrun games. Can't tell which one. I thought Outrun was in a previous one. One of the Afterburner games, Sonic the Hedgehog. So there's quite a few of these more. Oh, actually, there they are. It's on the box. Afterburner 2, Alien Syndrome, Sonic 2, Super Hang-On, Gunstar Heroes, Bare Knuckle 2, Thunder Force 3, Columns, and Turbo Outrun, all getting the 3D treatment in this latest collection. And if you need to catch up, there's a triple pack coming out in Japan. So check that out. Also on the 3DS this week, Osomatsu-san Matsumatsuri comes out in a regular and limited edition. And last but not least, Momotaro Densetsu 2017 Tachiagare Nippon. It's a train game from Nintendo on the 3DS, but we don't ever get those train games over here for whatever reason. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
From the UK, we have only a handful of things. We have Halo Wars Definitive Edition for Xbox One and PC, and Perfect for PlayStation 4. That's it.
All right. How about the mailbag? Every week.
Shit, I didn't open the mailbag. Hold on.
Way to go, Dark Sakura. All right. Well, every week, Dark Sakura prepares well in advance to open up our mailbag, which you can participate with by sending an email. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And Dark Sakura will open up the mailbag, dive in head first, and read some emails that she deems worthy of her presence.
One of them is in Farsi. I'm deleting it.
It's probably spam if it's
it is. Yeah. Okay, that's Farsi's not India.
What?
Farsi isn't India.
I said it's spam.
But you said if it's from India.
Did I say that? I said if it's spam.
Okay. Dear Orange Lounge Radio, thanks for the anime recommendations. I have seen a good amount of anime like Trigun, Sonic X. Does that count? The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, Mobile Suit Gundam, 00, Detective Conan, Bleach, Rurouni Kenshin, and Naruto. I like anime that don't have too much fan service or too much violence. In a way, I would like to ask this. Do you have any characters you want to see in the new Marvel vs. Capcom game? Also, which two companies do you think should do a crossover fighting game? Thanks for the anime recommendations, and I hope Dark Sakura gets well. Oh, thank you. Sincerely, Jose. I want Sakura in all the games and more Strider Hiryu. I mean, that always makes me happy.
Oh, so characters you want in Marvel vs. Capcom.
Oh, it's Devilot.
I'm still hung up on the new Cross game, which I just want another Capcom versus NK. Is that too much to ask? I mean, that's what I really want. I mean, yes, I know we've already had it, but I want another one. How about a straight up, and I guess this would really be just Smash Brothers, but how about a straight up Nintendo versus Sega? Come on. Make all our dreams come true.
Fighting? Well, we kind of had that with Smash.
Or put some of the TurboGrafx characters in there, too, like Keith Courage and Bonk and a pinball table.
How about Hudson versus Sammy?
Here's the thing. Who owns all that shit now? Konami. So the fighting game could be everybody kills Konami.
Whatevs.
How about that? Come on. Everybody kills Konami.
All right.
Including Konami.
Everybody versus Konami. Come on, tell me you wouldn't play that.
I would play it.
Everybody versus Konami.
But I think, though, I mean, there's plenty of Marvel characters that I would love to see. Like, I just want Jessica Jones to show up in the fighting game.
She probably will, to be honest. I mean, I could see them doing that.
Well, especially since the Netflix series was so successful, except I think that people need to actually go in and read the comics. Because I want comic version of her, you know, with husband Luke Cage and everything.
I think they still might, especially since they're going to have the whole because of the X-Men.
And then Defenders coming up.
It would make a lot of sense to have like Jessica Jones, Luke Cage,
X-Men.
Yeah. So
Punisher. Let's get Punisher in there.
Yeah.
How about we just have like a Defenders beat 'em up?
Mm-hmm.
And like sarcasm can be one of her side powers.
What about Ant-Man
would be pretty awesome.
What?
Ant-Man.
What about from the Capcom side? I feel like a lot of that's already been represented because my brain kind of goes Frank West. Oh, wait, he was in the last one.
Well, clearly my first pick is going to be Bad Box Mega Man because that was totally what I was looking forward to in the last game. That was like, hey, you know what? When I said I want Mega Man, that's exactly what I meant. Exactly. Thank you, Capcom. You're awesome.
I want Devilot.
How about the dude from Bionic Commando?
He was
already in there.
Was he in it?
He was in the last one.
I didn't play enough MVC3.
But you know who Devilot is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I play Puzzle Fighter.
I want her in there with Super 8. There was Tabasa from Red Earth.
Fifth Dream in chat over at live.vognetwork.com suggests Dead or Alive versus Soul Calibur. It's been a while since we've had a...
That would be fun.
It's been a while since we've had a Soul Calibur game, hasn't it?
That would be fun. Well, we've had Soul Calibur... Well, characters show up in... Well, I mean, there's just Yoshimitsu showed up in Tekken. And no, Yoshimitsu showed up in the Soul Calibur series. He was from Tekken. But we've had that level of crossover, but I would want to see, I mean, I would just like to see Mugen released public with DLC packs.
Oh my God.
I mean, it would be though fun, don't you think? And have it be, you know, have it be balanced.
Yeah. You know what? Soul Calibur 5 in 2012 was the last Soul Calibur game. That's what I thought. I was like, I don't think they ever did a Soul Calibur 6. And that was the one with Ezio from Assassin's Creed was the little character that was a bonus in that game. But here's the thing. They did do the Soul Calibur Lost Swords, that PlayStation Network free-to-play game. There was that in 2014, but that was fucking terrible.
Yeah.
That was a fucking terrible game.
I want to see a new Soul Calibur game with Travis Touchdown as the guest character because that would be awesome.
So, yeah, I'm all for a new Soul Calibur game. How about that? Soul Calibur versus Soul Calibur.
My brain just had, like, a weird image that popped up into it.
What was that?
And it has nothing to do with fighting games, but it does have to do with Konami. The 2DX DJ dating sim.
Didn't they have a dating sim, like Brooktown or something like that was called on PSP? Yeah. They tried to, you know, they tried to put it out here. It just didn't really.
I remember when I was hyping that, and I was like, I don't give a shit.
I was just thinking, like, maybe have, like, some of the DJs from 2DX as fighting characters. And then I was like, no, that'd be more a dating sim.
But they can be in Everybody Kills Konami.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could show up as an assist or something.
Yeah.
Or they're playing the sweet beats in the background.
Could be.
But they would have to get killed because everybody kills Konami. So, all right. Anyway.
Maybe just be everyone rolls over the Konami headquarters in a tank.
All right. That's it for our emails. But you can email us as well. Sorry. Fifth Dream in chat winner with this comment. Beat Monty. Beat Mania. It is. All right. A whole new version. Anyway, that's it for the emails this week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email for a future week. Remember, next week is the Holiday Spectacular. So I would like to get some season's greetings from y'all. Especially if you have never emailed the show before, it's time. This is time. Just send an email that says I exist or something. Just so we hear from some people that I know are out there listening.
I want a letter in Esperanto so I can read it aloud. What? Esperanto.
Oh, you want people to email you in Esperanto. Don't make it too complicated or nobody's going to email.
Because Esperanto sounds interesting, but I don't really know how to pronounce much of anything.
You can email, and that doesn't stop me from doing Japanese release dates. You can email us in whatever language you like.
But it has to be romanized because I can't necessarily read it.
All right, let's get back into some news. Loki.
All right. So they're doing some enhancements to Twitch live streaming. One of the things that they're doing is automating moderation in chat rooms. So it's this automod thing. It's supposed to allow for, I guess, nicer chat rooms, if you will, or more positive chat rooms is the way they're going about it. So it's a new tool for Twitch streamers that employs machine learning and natural language processing to identify and block inappropriate content from appearing in chat, which really needs to be in all of...
What if I like inappropriate content?
Then I'm sure you can turn it off, because it is an option that you can set on your page. You don't have to. You can opt into it. So if you don't want to opt into it, then by all means, you don't have to opt into it. I would like the opposite. It just filters out all... You know, positive comment. I want it just to be nasty, nasty stuff.
Yeah, it seems like Twitch has been doing a lot of changes. There isn't just that. I suppose we should mention they launched the whole IRL category this week. Did you hear about that? There's a new category they call IRL, which made me think, oh, this Justin TV thing's gone full circle, hasn't it? But apparently they don't want it to be like cameras while you're sleeping and just like live casting, but they want it to be like if you want to interact with your audience. Like you're just like, hi, I want to do a question and answer with my audience. Like basically playroom streams is what it sounds like to me, which I thought that they had banned. But I'm assuming then, okay, they want to do playroom streams, but without the nudities and the truth or dare and all that stuff that was happening.
It's all the interesting stuff.
Without all the interesting stuff. Exactly. Just, you know, people answering questions and stuff like that. I don't know. Have you guys checked that out? Oh, Tiger Claw is even talking about that in our chat room. I was going to ask if you guys have checked that out. Tiger Claw says non-gamers can broadcast on it. Basically what they used to do when they were just on TV. Well, you know what's funny, though, is that they actually have an FAQ, and one of the FAQs is, so is Twitch just going back to being just on TV? And they said no, because, you know, or they didn't really say like no, but they said that's not the intent. Like it was a different intent, and that this is really about interactive. Interactive is the key thing. And I remember in the early days of Justin TV, because we used to stream this show on Justin TV before there was a Twitch. And I remember at the time we were with All Games Radio, and Scott from All Games got really into this. He was doing I think he did like a live cast at E3 and all this stuff, if I remember right. But it was very much like, watch me walk around. And Scott was always very good about doing the interaction. Like he totally like got that, you know, the way, you know, we really like it here, and the way, you know, Bobby's done it with his show for years. So I think, you know, if you wanted him to go to a certain booth at E3 or something, like he'd do it. And that was kind of like the interaction. But there was a lot of people on Justin TV that would just like point the camera at themselves while they're sleeping and like very mundane stuff. But I guess like Big Brother and that type of stuff is popular, so there's people that watch it. Who knows? And at Tiger Claw also pointing out, Twitch will let people broadcast live from their phones too. And that's going to be a big part of the IRL thing. So I think it's kind of like taking on Periscope is what it sounds like to me. It really sounds like it's trying to take on Periscope in that regard. But we'll see. Anyhow, moving on. Let's talk about Mega Man.
God, a new Mega Man game? No, I am so excited.
Temper those expectations significantly. Apparently, a recent article in Famitsu magazine states that all six NES original games are being re-released on January 6th.
Ooh, that's awesome.
For iOS and Android.
That's not awesome.
It's not a bundle. They're going to be sold one at a time. Cheat codes, though, auto fire, auto charge, and all that stuff are in. And there will be some type of Rockman Unity app where you can get rewards like wallpaper and like silly things. And so, yeah, that is all coming out in Japan on mobile phones. And I really can't see how this is going to be any fun at all because there's no controllers on phones. But I feel like didn't they already have Mega Man games here in the States? Like, I thought they released some already. And they weren't very good.
I don't know, but yeah, I could totally see a game that requires such precision to be released on mobile and have totally nothing wrong with it.
Now, what is this all leading up to? Apparently, a new Mega Man mobile game to tie into the new TV show being released next year.
Wow, those are two things I really don't care about. That's right. I keep forgetting that new TV show is coming out. And God, it looks terrible just from the screenshots. And God, a game based on that on mobile. Man, they totally understand the Mega Man franchise and all the key components that make a great Mega Man game.
Not the way to do it. Not the way
crappy
to do it.
Crappy design, crappy interface, crappy gameplay. I'm on board.
And by the way,
you know what? I think it's going to be greater than Pokemon Go. You watch.
Sure. By the way, there was a Mega Man 2 mobile in 2009, and it was pretty bad. And they patched it a bunch, and it's still pretty bad. So there you go. Take it or leave it. Apparently, I've left it all these years. Dark Sakura, maybe you have a game we can get more excited about?
Maybe. It's been a while. Shenmue 3 is end of development cycle. Pre-orders actually already went into effect on the 15th. But Suzuki-san said that they're at the final stages of development and they're going to have new videos and such after New Year. It should be, well, pretty spectacular. So goes the theory. I mean, I would think with today's graphics, it's going to definitely take a lot more realism into the story. So maybe we'll get more gachapon machines and, you know, Space Harrier.
YYR in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says Shenmue 3 hype with like 17 Ys in it.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of surprised that this game is already, they're talking about it's being close to done. That's a pleasant surprise because a lot of these things that Sony announces at E3, we get to wait years and years and years to play, such as, you know, Final Fantasy 15, Last Guardian, although granted we finally got those games this year. But I don't think anyone's holding their breath too much about, you know, Final Fantasy 7 Remake or Kingdom Hearts 3. Although, again, rumors say that the 7 Remake Part 1 is happening next year. And if it's in 15's engine, I guess it's possible. We'll see.
There's an iOS game coming out that I'm interested in.
What's that?
It's the Bible Girl 666 New York Adventure.
Oh, Lord. I'm sure it'll be as awesome as Dragopolis. All right. Just a few more stories for you guys, and then we're going to get to the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio. But, oh boy, we have some good stories for our last two stories tonight, don't we, Loki?
Well, everyone's got to get in on the Let's Play, you know, action. And so, who best to do that than Brazzers, the purveyors of such fine porn parodies. Like they had a new Final Fantasy 15 when they had literally nothing to do with Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, it's called something like getting the car repaired or something. Like they don't even call it like Final Fuck 15 or something that ties into it. It's something about like stopping for repairs.
It has like the Sydney Sydney.
Of course, Rama knows gas station special. Thank you, Rama, who was the first chatter to chime in with that. Guess what that makes you, Rama? Just kidding.
The winner.
That's right, the winner.
No, yeah. So they had like that with a Sydney knockoff, and she fights some random like monster looking thing, which is stupid. But yeah, so they're purveyors of such wonderful things, but they're also going to be doing a Let's Play channel. So they've got, I guess, their Safe Work channel.
Sorry, Dart Tetsuya says it's Full Service Station. That actually
Full Service Station.
That sounds. Oh, I think Rama got it wrong. So Dark Tetsuya, you know what that makes you?
The winner.
Who wants some Full Service?
So they have a YouTube channel called Trends with two Z's, And they have adult film stars also doing Let's Plays on games. So the one of the first games that they played on there was Mafia 3. And, yeah, you can go check it out and watch them play a game. Apparently, one of the porn stars, Nikki Benz, is actually quite... Or, I'm sorry, actually not... Missy Martinez is actually quite a gamer. She even has, was it her gamer name, Bones and Silicone. Is her gamer tag. So, I don't know.
Do you think we could get somebody on the show? Do you think we could get one of the girls on the show? Why not? It's to promote their channel.
I doubt it.
What do you guys think? Should I send an email?
Like, that's like saying, like, you can, but I mean, I don't think that they need much promotion. People know who they are. So, I'm sorry. I've never seen your work before. Who are you?
To be fair, I have no idea who they are. If that's you know, and we all know why, I have no idea who they are. And maybe I'd like to, you know, talk about being a gamer with her. Why not?
It's just like any other occupation. So they play games.
Thank you. Thank you, Chatters. Make it happen. Why the hell not? Do it. Take a chance. Fifth Dream says, I don't know who they are, and I watch tons of porn.
I've heard of Nikki Benz. I just couldn't say, like, you couldn't show me a video, like, random video of a bunch of different actresses, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's Nikki Benz. I don't know who she is.
You wouldn't be able to identify her in a lineup.
I just recognize the name.
Dark Soccer, would you be down for interviewing a streamer, a Let's Player here on the show?
Sure.
Or why not? Why not? All right, I'm going to send an email. We'll see what happens. We have one more story to talk about tonight, and I thought we could end on a local note. And I thought to end on a local note, we could talk about the Florida of Sacramento. I'm talking about Rockland. Y'all know Rockland. You locals know Rockland. It's somewhere between here and Tahoe. We're going to talk about Rockland, which, by the way, in 2013, why do we call Rockland the Florida of Sacramento? This is the same place where, what was this in 2013? The teenager, her parents wouldn't let her access the internet after 10 p.m., so she drugged them with sleeping medicine so that she could get on the internet. That was all over social media. That came out of Rockland. Well, guess what happened this week, y'all, in Rockland? Kevin Lee Coe went on a spending spree after stealing $4.8 million from his employers. So I guess he was busted this week. And here's the thing that makes this gaming related. $1 million of that $4.8 million he spent on Game of War. That's right, the smartphone game, Game of War. Federal prosecutors are saying that Kevin Lee Coe, the alleged perpetrator in this incident, spent $1 million back on that mobile phone game, Game of War. On Thursday this week, the 45-year-old Rockland resident pleaded guilty to money laundering and wire fraud after being accused of embezzling the funds from his employer, Holt of California. So you got to think, Game of War made $1 million off this one individual. And that was...
That's quite a whale.
That was dirty money. That was dirty money. My pal Alan is walking into the studio, who brought this news to my attention this week and actually suggested the name that Rockland is the Florida of Sacramento, right?
Yes.
Yes. So what did you want to say on this?
I'm just wondering, what skin was he going for where he was opening up the random box? He's like, fucking give me the legendary skin for the character. And he did that to the tune of $1 million.
I'm surprised. I think I know people that did that with Overwatch this past week who may or may not have embezzled the money. No, I'm kidding.
Shush.
Yeah. But anyway, did you spend money on Overwatch?
I may have given it $10.
Oh my God. Alan too?
And you think you know people.
You think you know people. Did you get the skin you wanted at least?
One of them.
Which one? Alan, which one? He's thinking.
The Pharaoh.
The Pharaoh one. Congratulations. I don't even know what the Pharaoh skin is. She's one of my favorite people. All right. there you go. So we'll see what happens in a future week coming out of Rockland. But isn't it always fun to end on a local story? These things are happening right in our backyard. Anyway, I need to open up the Skype line. I still don't have Skype even up here in studio, but I'm opening it up right now. And once it's up, you can give us a call at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. In the meantime, let me check with my co-hosts and see if anyone has a last-minute story they want to go over.
No.
No.
No?
No, I have donuts that I want to go over.
Donuts? You brought donuts?
No, but I want one.
Well, that helps me right
or
now.
Or Pinkberry.
Well,
I haven't had Pinkberry in a while.
Somebody needs to fill time because I haven't logged into the Skype account yet.
Well, whose fault is that, Rob? Then again, I guess it's fair since I didn't have the mailbag open, so whatevs.
Yeah, this is the night where nothing's open. Well, it's because of the holiday season. You're not supposed to open things until Christmas.
You've been hitting the eggnog already.
No, I haven't. That's the problem. Okay, now the Skype line is open. I'm logged in. So there it is. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. All right, well, if you guys don't have last-minute stories, then I actually think I have a couple here I can go over. One of them has to do with Final Fantasy XV and some information about some of the DLC that's coming out for Final Fantasy XV. You can, of course, get the season pass that's available now to get all of this DLC. This is not about the holiday update. They did release some information about that, and I was kind of like, eh. But this is something different, actually. Apparently, they're bringing back Gilgamesh. Which is a classic Final Fantasy villain. I think goes back to 5.
Yay, Gilgamesh.
Yeah, I don't know if it goes back. It has a hilarious cameo in Final Fantasy 14, one of the better stories in 14. But anyway, Gilgamesh is going to be in the Final Fantasy 15 DLC. He will be in specifically episode Gladiolus, which is, of course, going to be about Gladio. And I'm assuming, again, it's spoilery, but how do I word this without being a spoiler? I'm going to choose my words carefully. There's a segment of the game where this DLC would make sense. I'll say that. That's it. So that's apparently what's going to fill in here, where there is a conflict with the popular Final Fantasy antagonist Gilgamesh. And Gilgamesh will only be seen in this episode. There will be areas that you otherwise can't get to. And this is going to be the first season pass episode. So check that out. Let's see. Gilgamesh, not just in Final Fantasy V, but also in 8. 9, 11, 12, and 14, and also a lot of the side games. I did not realize Gilgamesh was in Final Fantasy VI Advance. Huh. Go figure. So anyway, we'll see what he looks like in Final Fantasy 15. Let's put out another call for calls. Oh, did Skype lock up? Skype may have locked up on me, and that way explain why no calls are coming in right now. Okay.
Thank you, Skype.
Awkward. Yeah, Skype is not responding. I'm going to hope that this doesn't kill the show. When I do this.
Let's not kill the show because we like being alive. Wait.
Yeah, what? I know. I'm a little worried. That's the joy of live radio. Okay, it shows we're still streaming, and I was more worried about the recording getting stopped midway. Okay, I'm going to try Skype one more time. Okay, YYR says he's trying to call in and it's coming up as busy. Sorry. I launched Skype and it decided to promptly freeze. So I'm going to try this one more time.
Well, I'll leave everyone with some wisdom. Do you know what society needs more of? Bathing in the blood of your enemies. It's good protein.
What is wrong with you?
And it's good exfoliating.
What is actually wrong with you?
You're just now asking this?
All right. It's showing. Skype is showing up again, so give it another try. We'll see what happens. Orange. Okay. Woo! Oh, it just lit up and then it went away. But I know people are trying to call in at least. All right. Let's get to a call. Hi, you're on Orange Sounds Radio. Who's this?
Hi, it's Aaron, YYR.
Hi, Aaron. You got through. We fixed Skype. What's up,
yes,
buddy?
Yes, I did. Speaking of bathing in the blood of your enemies and the last story, it's just like I was saying. I mean, it's just like Satan was saying a few weeks ago. It's really easy to go through $1 million in Game of War. It really is.
I have never played Game of War. And I'm very happy to say that, although perhaps I should not judge, because I have probably spent $40 on Pokemon Go, and that's not even counting
the thing.
That's not
the
counting the Plus app.
In Game of War, can spend $100 at one time.
Oh my god, no, that's just
or
too much.
More.
And Pikachu's not even in it.
Yeah, right. It's, you can't get that skin. What's the point? Right?
Have you played it?
But Actually, the main reason I called, honestly, I think this Super Mario Run business is one of the most interesting gaming stories of the year.
How so?
Well, you look at how Nintendo launched this game and how they were really trying to be all, well, we're not going to stoop to their level. We're not going to take the predatory stance and look for whales and, you know, suck as much money out of people as possible. We're going to do it with this one $10 purchase, and you have the whole game and you're good. But you know what? It's like, sometimes it doesn't matter what you're saying as much as how you're saying it. Because we've all seen those things where they show you two different ways to ask a survey question and how the results differed. And so here's the thing. The language of the App Store is, if you see a price, that's what the app costs. If you see free, it costs nothing. If you see get, it's probably free to play, right?
Right, because I was going to say that the Apple changed that language, God, probably like 4 years ago just because of that stuff. So that there, if it doesn't say free on Super Mario Run, it says get. Big difference,
exactly.
Right?
And over the last couple of years especially, we've pretty much been trained to understand that get means it's free to play with optional in-app purchases. So now here's the thing. They did explain in the description what the deal was, but nobody reads.
No.
So everyone goes and downloads this thing, and they play the first three courses, and then they hit the paywall. And they're like, what is this? This is a bait and switch. This is anti-consumer. One star, uninstall, I'm out. And that has led to the 2.5 average star rating on iTunes, with more people voting one star than any other rating, because
that happens to a lot of apps, though, to be fair. Like Pokemon Go probably had the same thing when they turned off the tracker.
I don't think so.
It's crazy. I do kind of think Nintendo should have just put a $10 charge on the game. Done. I would have supported if they just didn't have a free demo
in addition. Separate app.
Like a separate app?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it used to be done. You would see, so-and-so and so-and-so light.
Maybe a so-and-so light, like, 30 days later or something. Like, I think they could have just made a ton of money if they just sold a $10 app day one.
Exactly. But the other thing I think is wrong with Super Mario Run as far as execution is the fact that they made a score attack game and not, like, a game where you go and complete courses, which is – by and large, in 2016, I don't think there are as many people playing games for score as they are for completion.
Right. Oh, so you're talking about the Toad Run, which is my biggest issue with Super Mario Run, is the Toad mode is ridiculous.
Well, even just the normal mode, because the courses are like, what, 1-2 minutes long?
True.
But that's not the point of the game. The point of the game is to get the coins, to improve your score, to get all the secret coins. But so many people don't care about that.
Yeah.
I really feel like they just completely missed the mark on what mobile gamers – not even mobile gamers. But, I mean, every Mario game ever released is like, hey, here's some obstacle courses. Can you get through them? Why such a difference now?
Kind of following up and piggybacking a little bit on what you said about, the way that the game is being received and all that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not about, what you say or what you do. It's how it's perceived.
Yeah.
That is so much of what happens just, God, anywhere on the internet. I mean, how does fake news spread the way it does and has become such a buzzword in our society? Because people perceive it one way and want it to be true or don't want it to be true. So it suddenly becomes fact and perception becomes fact.
As we all know, the internet is terrible.
The reason why I say all that is because, and I know people are not going to agree with me, and that's fine. But when you pay the $10 for a game and then it says, and you're going to get these 20 extra tickets for the Toad Run mode, and you're going to get these coins, and you're going to get this special question mark block for your village and stuff. That's all the type of shit I would expect to see in a free to play game. So
yeah,
now
it does look a little weird.
Now I'm left to wonder, am I going to get nickeled and dimed after this $10 thing? And I bet that's what a lot of people are really getting mad, because they feel like they're going to get nickeled and dimed, even though they're not. They're not selling those Toad tickets or whatever, but just the way they did it. And even the way, like, you have the My Nintendo coins and you can trade in, what, 300 My Nintendo coins for what? A fucking gold statue and, like, these really silly things, right? It's like the worst parts of the free-to-play stuff are still there. Does that make sense?
And you know what's also a problem? Nowhere on that purchase screen does it actually explain that that's the whole game.
Yeah.
It says it's six worlds, but I mean, yeah, Candy Crush's map, it shows you like the next 50 levels, but it doesn't show you that there's 1,000 more behind it.
Yeah.
So you could have people thinking, oh, well, I hit the paywall before the end of world one. Who's to say there won't be another paywall next world?
Right, right. So the perception is pretty huge with this. And I think, yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, even where I kind of get an issue with it. And, you know, obviously I understand what the rules are and I, you know, but I just, something feels just off in the whole design of that currency and everything. And it kind of just snowballs into why I don't like the game. But at the end of the day, I just find I don't like the constant run mechanic. I just don't like it as a Mario game.
I mean, it's different. I did manage to play a couple of levels, and then I went back and got like the second set of coins in the first course. It's cute. It's interesting. I can see where it would be strategic, but it's just the game is just so fundamentally flawed that I like it, but I don't understand what the developer was going for here. I don't think it was actually – who was it? DNA that did it? I'm not quite sure what their target audience was and how they felt that they would sell it to the target audience.
I think there was too much outside influence on this game, I think is what it boils down to. I think too many non-gamers had a say in how this game was going to play out, and I think it shot this game in the foot. I really did.
It almost makes me wonder if this was designed at Nintendo in a boardroom.
Possibly. And it kind of sucks for Miyamoto having to be the face of that. You know what I mean? Because I would bet he probably isn't really to blame for hardly any of this.
You know what, though? As long as he's still eating, I mean, I think that's pretty sweet. You know, like there were those pictures where he was eating while playing, right?
Yeah.
As long as he's eating something delicious, I think it'll all turn out okay for him.
He'll be fine. Miyamoto is still a gaming legend, and nothing's ever going to take that away. And you know what? There's going to be people out there that say, Rob, YYR, you guys are wrong. I'm loving Super Mario Run, and I play the levels.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's a bad, you know, unpolished, not a quality game. I think it's definitely quality and polished. I just think it's, you know, one of those things where, you know, we don't know who it's for, and you know, the target, maybe it wasn't quite marketed the right way to the right people, kind of thing. Like, this would have gone over better as a 3DS game, I think.
I'm not sure I would have still enjoyed it as a 3DS game, to be honest.
You also probably would have been able to run, you know, not automatically.
Then it's just a Mario game, which isn't a bad thing necessarily. But I think I would just rather play Mario Maker at the end of the day. Still a million levels to explore there. All right, YYR, I got to let you go to try to squeeze in more calls, but thank you for the call, buddy.
I hope you guys have a great week. Take care.
Thank you. Have a great holiday if we don't hear from you again.
Enjoy, yes.
Bye-bye.
Happy holidays.
Take care.
Yep.
Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you'd like to call into the show and have your say, you could also try the phone line if you want to try that. 1-877-GAME-OLR is another way to get in on the show as well. Wait for those calls to come in. Which Skype? I know Skype's still working. Any other last minute stories? Anyone dig something up?
No. I can't really think of anything. News is just kind of slow and not very interesting right now.
Right. They're doing a thing on the Humble Bundle with Yogcast where they're doing 30 games for $30. It's all going to charity.
All right, we got a call coming in. It came in. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
How dare you, like, make fun of people for buying loot boxes on Overwatch? Like, that's so rude.
And, you know, did you hear the part where I followed it up with, but I'm not one to judge because I spent $40 on Pokemon Go?
No, because it didn't matter. Your damage was already done.
Whatever, Shane. Whatever. Is that all you called in to tell me what a rude ass I am?
Well, I do that regularly anyway, so it's not like an important topic to cover on your show. But I did want to say,
when's the next episode of PokeStop Podcast, Shane?
When I feel like it. I'm shiny hunting right now. Don't bother me.
Now who's rude?
I got shinies today, so I was happy. I got like two so far. No, I was calling in to say that I don't have the internet right now, so I've been playing games that aren't online. Like, I can't play Overwatch, which kills me right now since it's the holiday event. But it's okay, because I opened 82 loot boxes this weekend, so it's fine.
82? How much money for 82 loot boxes?
Well, some of it I won myself.
Okay, so the two. And so what was the 80?
Me? No, no, no. There was more than that I got myself. Thank you. Me and Jim had like a Overwatch Wi-Fi party at his house, so we just played like in the same room on different screens.
How come when Jim plays with you, you win loot boxes? Every time I've played, we don't win.
Because we're better.
My feelings are hurt. I'm going to go cry.
No, I was talking to my dad and complaining about how I can't do this Overwatch event. So he is sending me $50 for Christmas that I could spend on Overwatch. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just do that now. So I technically bought $60 worth of boxes.
I knew it. So you did dip into your own funds a little bit.
Just a little, because it was better to do a $20 one versus a $10 one.
What's the paper noise in the background? Are you eating Taco Bell while you're on the call?
No, I'm laying in bed. I don't know what paper noise you're talking about.
Do you guys hear it? I hear it sounds like a paper kinda crinkling noise. Sounding. Yeah. Maybe it's just your phone. Maybe it's your horrible lack of internet phone connection or something like that.
Probably.
I don't know.
Anyway, that's not why I called. And I am excited about those loot boxes, though, because I only need two more skins and I've got all the holiday ones. No, I was calling in because I've been playing other games that aren't internet connected. And so I went back through finally and beat Res Infinite and unlocked Area X, which, you know, I've had this game since it launched. And I played in VR, and like Area X is the most amazing thing ever. It actually bumped Res Infinite, which I did not want on a top five list for the year for me, because it's like the 700th time it's been re-released with, you know, a couple new features. But it did bump it up to my top five somewhere in there. But I was trying to show it off to Annie and Jim, and I didn't have my VR hooked up, so I was like, I'll just play it with the normal controller. Had I not played it in VR, I think I hate this game. I do not think it's nearly as good.
Didn't you play non-VR, Loki? Didn't you do that?
No, I did VR.
Oh, you did? Oh. I haven't done Area X yet.
Area X is amazing in VR. I hate the way it controls outside of VR, though. Because in VR, you use the stick and your head, you know, in tandem to move around and target things. You just have the, you know, the analog stick when you don't have VR, and it's just not as good in any sense. It feels like it was specifically made for VR, and they tried to find a way to work it outside of VR. I don't think it works.
I can kind of cut him some slack for that, because it is, I mean, Res is really, this version of Res anyway, is really designed to be a VR game. Mm-hmm. But you would think...
Oh, yeah, especially the fourth boss in the regular game. Oh, my God.
You would think that the rest of it would still translate as well as, like, the original version or the remastered, you know, 360 version or whatever.
And it may, but it's been so long since I've played a regular Res game without having the VR that maybe this is the definitive way to play Res now, and it's like I can't go back because it feels like I don't have all the control I should have. I don't know. But that Area X is amazing. In fact, because, you know, I'm just playing Pokemon and listening to your dumb show, I put Res on traveling, and it's just playing on my TV, just like in the one area that I really like the music for, just sitting there doing nothing like a screensaver.
Well, how are you going to survive? For how much longer do you have to survive without internet?
2 weeks.
I don't know how you do it.
I don't know, because I just also... Target had an error on the Legend of Korra Blu-ray set. It was 15 instead of 50, and I just already went through that. Like, I've gone through all four seasons already, and I guess I can go through all four again, but that's only 8 discs, so it's not that much.
Well, I would try to give you ideas, but you called this show dumb, so I don't want to help you.
Whatever, I do that to everything, and I'm usually right, so it's fine.
ActDeft in chat says, Darksocker, you're not on.
Just, now know. I am.
There you go.
And it's awesome because I'm here.
Oh, that's true. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, and I'll still buy your game.
I forgot that. It's like sitting over there near the PlayStation.
Just let me borrow it first.
ActDef says in chat, Shane, you lucky bastard. I wanted to take advantage of that, talking about the Korra, I guess, target error thing.
They're really good at errors. Oh, here's a good story video game, too, because you've got like an hour to kill, basically, still. So my friend Danny, like, he works at a school, and his student was, like, I guess on his phone or something during class, and they were on Amazon, and there was this, like, you know how Amazon has, you know, different sellers have storefronts, so it's like you buy from them, but Amazon fulfills or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know how Amazon works, really. But anyway, so this one storefront had all these different things up for sale, but they were all a penny. Like, probably a price error, probably shouldn't have been live. His student bought, like, 5 Chromebooks for a penny each. And then Danny was like, let me jump on this. And they were selling regular 3DSs, too. 3DS XLs, not the new version, but the old one, for a penny. So he ordered 5, so he paid a nickel. They're apparently, he has a tracking number. They debited his account, you know, a nickel. So that's ridiculous if this really happens.
Where?
Oh, it's gone now.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's gone now.
Yeah, it was a storefront.
You better hope those weren't stolen off the back of a truck or something. That's what it sounds like.
No, they were actually, they seemed to be like a reputable place. I think what he thinks, I think, I don't know. Again, I don't know how Amazon works, but he thinks maybe they were putting inventory in the system, but accidentally set it to live and just had those placeholder prices before they were actually going through and doing everything. But there was like Chromebooks, there were like kitchen appliances, 3DSs. I don't know if there are any other systems, but I hope he gets his 5 3DSs because he's going to give me one. So,
what a nice Christmas present. I need a new rice cooker. I'm sad that show or that store's down. What's up with that? I need kitchenware.
Well, maybe you should work at a school with terrible students that are on their phones during your class, and then you would get it.
I'll get right on that.
Yep, you should.
All right. Anything else you want to share with us tonight, Shane?
No, everybody should also go play Let It Die if you have a PS4, because that game is awesome.
I didn't like that game.
I wish I could play that too. Well, you're wrong, so it doesn't matter.
Shane tried to make me play it. I didn't think it was that good.
It's pretty freaking fun. You didn't even do anything in the game. That's why.
It was ridiculous. I didn't like it.
And it sounds like Silent Hill because Akira Yamaoka does the music. So
the music was okay. The music was okay. I'll give it that. Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right. 1-877 game OLR, or of course on Skype we are Orange Lounge Radio. I'm sure we can squeeze in another call if you want to give us a call. Let's see, looking at chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Kassen says New Egg has sales on rice cookers sometimes. I just named a random kitchen appliance. We don't like really need one.
I legit need a new one.
Although I was gonna say that Alan's had that one like forever. We've been dating for 7 years, so I would, maybe it is time to get a new one. I don't know. Let's see. Dark Tatsuya in chat talking about Let It Die says, I watched some streams of it. It definitely looks like a Suda 51 joint. So, all right. Well, Skype is going crazy on me and having these weird errors. So, unfortunately, I think I'm going to go ahead and close it down for tonight. I'm sorry for those of you that couldn't get through, but please consider emailing us or tweeting us. Participate at orangelaundry.com. I will make sure Skype gets upgraded before the next show, although this computer is still running on Windows XP, so I don't know how much longer that's going to work. However, I am looking into the big upgrade for 2017. So while we're gone during MAGFest, very possibly giving the studio some renovations. I just have to see how much it's going to cost me and all that other stuff. So hopefully we'll get that all fixed and new and improved Skype line. And maybe if we can set up some type of video thing, although I know not everybody wants to be on cam, but maybe some type of limited video or something we could figure out as well. Yeah, ActDev says Studio N7.1. Rama says, I sent you a Windows 10 key. You're golden. Yeah, no, I know. I will be golden, just probably not on this computer. This computer's, you know, this is the computer that the listeners graciously bought for us after I had my Diva meltdown. But you guys might remember that was like 8 years ago. So this computer kind of needs a little bit of a kick in the pants as well. So that's all stuff that I'm looking into doing, a little studio upgrade here. So, yes, ActF, the diva computer. Anyway, that is about going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for downloading our show and checking us out. You know, all we ask, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here, we can't air them. That's all we want for the holidays. If you're feeling so generous, a nice 5-star review would go a long way on whatever website you found this show on, be it iTunes or Google Play, wherever. Before we wrap things up tonight, we're going to go around and get everybody's final thought for the night. My final thought tonight is I think I'm going to probably re-up WoW tonight, and I'll play some WoW, as I mentioned earlier in the show. I think that would be fun.
If I'm on tonight, I'll play with you.
Yeah. It is Sunday night. Got to work tomorrow. Blah. But, you know, that's all right. Short week. Thank you, holidays.
Short week. Oh, for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Loki, your final thought.
Maybe I guess I'll have to join up. Wow, said me never.
And last but not least, somebody who's not quite a hater, sometimes, Dark Sakura.
I am not full of hatred. I am full of disappointment, but I am not full of hatred. Well, yet. Wait until next year.
All right. Hey, everybody, have a great holiday, because I'm sure many of you will be doing holiday things next week and will not be here live. But if you are going to be around, come join our holiday special in 7 days with Dark Sakura and myself. Unfortunately, Uncle Loki's got real world stuff to tend to, but we'll be here. Who knows? You always know during a holiday special, some special guests show up. So who knows who will join us here in studio on Christmas. Or first day of Hanukkah, or whatever it is you're celebrating in 7 days. We'll see you then. Have a great week, everybody. Happy gaming. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.